could lands if to welcome. Welcome to If Lands Could Kill. This is episode 101. I'm Knife City.
So and Crow.
This is Hot Sauce.
And this is episode 101.
Left.
And we have a special guest with us tonight. We have Salacious B. Crumb. How are... He made many appearances in the Star Wars franchise, and he came...
He's a very important character.
He is. I was looking on Reddit, actually, and... they said he was the third most voted to win president outside of the two candidates, so... Yeah, I know you hate the Mexicans. I know. But, you know. Anyways, this is episode 101. It's good to be back. Like usual, we took a little while to get this one out. Not because we wanted to. You know, we were playing some Magic. We were actually playing... the anthology, whatchamacallit.
I forgot we even played that.
I know, that's why we didn't cast the week after.
Planar Chaos, what is it called?
Plane Chase Anthology.
Plane Chase, oh my god.
We just played that fucker all night long.
With the decks and with our own commander decks.
That is correct. And then, unfortunately, we've had a little bit of rough sales along the way.
Well, I hope episode 100 held them over... for the 3 weeks of time between episodes. Unfortunate, but 5+ hours. I hope everyone that heard that shit enjoyed it, got through it. And it all pays off.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
It all pays off.
Yeah. And now we can just rest on our laurels and give you complete shit tonight.
From now on. Up until episode 150, it's all garbage.
Coming 3 weeks to prepare. Anybody bring anything to the table tonight?
I got Basic Mountain. Not the guy, just literally a mountain.
The mountain basic. Guy. Fantastic. So if you're not familiar with the cast, we like to bullshit a little bit, you know, make some yokes every once in a while. And then we like to get onto such serious topics as non-legal magic formats and deck lists that are not in any top 8 or top 800 for that matter. And then we like to... mosey on over to such well-educated opinions from astute magic aficionados such as So and Crow, who is actually intently reading a How to Build the Correct Mana Base textbook right now. How's that? What page are you on?
Patrick Chapin, correct?
Patrick Chapin, yeah that's very true. The book isn't very interesting.
It's in front of you.
It's very boring read. Informative, though.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm bored already.
Yeah.
Was I supposed to take this farther? Because
I mean, if you were any sort of fucking...
Yeah. What are you doing your introduction, dude? I'm playing Guys Who Heroes here.
Yeah.
He literally is, with the tablet, playing a video game. I would hardly call it a video game, but I'm playing a video game while we're trying to get some business done.
Well, it looks like
we're trying to fucking keep the lights
here.
On. Trying to keep the lights
I'm trying
on.
Trying to pay the bills.
Pay the bills. Bro.
Luckily, I got interesting shit happened while we didn't cast. So, I mean, you take it away, sir.
Luckily, I got the skills to pay said bills. My name is Knife City, and I am addicted to the pussy.
Okay.
What's wrong with you?
You know, like, you know, when you're gonna start talking at some sort of AA meeting or something, you know. Hi, I'm Bob, and I'm addicted to
crack.
You know.
Yeah. You ever sucked feet for weed, man?
Blueberry sunrise Shastas mixed with.
Yes, it's really bad.
Poo. I don't know. All the funny's gone. All the funny, it's gone. We're gonna just edit everything out of this episode, starting with how my past couple weeks have been. Unfortunately, this past week has just been up, down, left, and right. My poor mother hilariously fell down and broke her ankle right in front of me. I could have saved her. I didn't. I did. I could read. Actually, I did. I reached out just a little bit, and then when she went to go grab, I pulled my arm.
No, she fell into you, and you were like, "Whoa!"
Oh,
you
don't touch me, you old bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like a car was out of control, and you're like, "Dive out of the way!"
Exactly. You know, I'm okay, and that's what matters. No, unfortunately, she broke her ankle, and she's, you know, getting up there in the years. She's not a spring chicken anymore, or even a middle-aged chicken. She's dead. She's actually dead right now.
Well, they did. She did have you at a, I would say, a pretty.
Yeah, she was 41 when she had me. Yeah, I was a surprise.
That's an old age.
So, yeah, it sucked. Had to go urgent care and ER, and you know, somebody has to be like, you know, hanging out with her to help her around and stuff. So it's been a big old pain in the ass. But you know, it's mom, so you do what you do. And then on Thursday, it was mine and my girlfriend's 6-year anniversary. And
drum roll, please.
Yeah. So she's been just wanting me to propose because about a year ago, something like that, we went and picked out a ring. And boy, was that a mistake. Woo! My advice to anybody, just whatever, pick out a shitty ring. It doesn't matter. Just don't let them know you have it, because it is just in their mind, every opportunity. You're like washing dishes next to each other at the sink, and she's like, is it now? Is it now? Now. You know, you're eating Taco Bell in front of the TV. Now. Now? You go to pick up trash, you get on one knee, and she's like, oh my God. You're like, no, it's we're in front of Beef and Bun. Like, get out of here.
I can imagine, like, you're at, like, dog park or something like that, and a dog comes up and, like, approaches your girlfriend, and she starts, like, checking its collar. It's like, is the ring? Did you surprise me with the ring on its collar?
Yeah.
Like, any scenario that she's seen in a movie, she's like, oh, my God, it's happening right now.
Yeah.
This is it.
We go get ice cream. She's, like, digging to the bottom. Yeah. Not even eating it.
Yeah. Big can of paint. Sticks her hand in there. I've seen this trick before.
So, as this day happens, though, and this Thursday, You wake us up with a text about how we're not casting that day because of the 6-year anniversary. Do you want to read the text, or you want to wait till the rest of your story here?
Oh, well, I'm going to include that. That's,
okay,
you know.
Okay.
I was just going to say.
I don't even remember what it says, to be honest.
It cracked me up.
Okay.
Even my wife liked it. She's like, Jesus Christ, that's what an asshole. That's great.
You know, I had this big old plan, this elegant, you know, big thing about how I was going to propose, and it ended up falling through, so I was just going to do it on our anniversary, and you know, I don't like to do things in a normal fashion, you know. You know, most people propose in the evening after a long day of activities, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no. I'm gonna
truly surprise her.
Yeah, truly surprise her. And I proposed in the mid-morning before, like, we even left to go do anything. I got that bitch by surprise because nobody suspects it then. She was like, heavily suspecting it, you know. Obviously,
this would
be it'd be a good day to do it. So, you know, got the acoustic guitar out and had my dog have the ring around its neck and the whole thing. So,
which dog got the honors?
Was Peach, obviously.
It was Bowser.
Oh, really?
Bowser, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Huh. He's
the best listener, you know. He's so.
I'm just saying, if it was his choice.
Yeah, if it was my choice, I'd only have Peach. I'd eat the other two. And they would last me quite a while. Those are fat dogs. Bowser's losing his hourglass shape. He's just getting fat, dude.
It's just a solid
song. Gotta get a newer model.
Get off the couch, dude. Get a job.
I was giving my girlfriend tons of hypotheticals about, like, killing the dogs to save whatever. Like, would you want to be, like, homeless and keep the dogs? Or we have to kill the dogs, but then we get a way bigger house? Or, like, just I was just going off, and she was so annoyed trying to watch her show. And I was, like, real hyper. I just was rambling off, like, all the what-ifs I could come up with about just, like, our lives, animals, jobs, like, all this shit. And she didn't answer a single one of them.
She's like, I'm trying to watch the Gilmore Girls. Shut up.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad she doesn't watch that. Anyways, continue on. Sorry to try to steal anything here. No. He'll say.
So, anyways, we had a...
No. Not
a J-Wan. So we had a fun day of going around doing different things, and I didn't, like, put any pressure on it. I was just like, fuck, like, having this big old pressure plan. I was just like, whatever you want to do today, that's what we're gonna do, like, whatever it is. So we went and had breakfast and went to Dave and Buster's. Because, like, yeah, let's play some, like, there's no cool, like, arcade places anymore. Like, let's go there. Man, that place fucking sucks ass.
Overhyped garbage.
It's like, I mean, I hate to just sound like an old man now, but it's like, all the arcade games last, like, 15 seconds, and they cost $5 a pop.
They don't even have a police trainer there. That's the biggest disappointment.
Oh, thank you. See, I found somebody the other day.
Roundtable Pizza still has police trainer.
Exactly. I'm like, the best one of arcade games. I'm like, the best one of all time, police trainer. Police trainer is the best one of all time for arcade games.
My chick, we both agree. You know, of course, before, like, even meeting her, like, whatever, this is, like, you know, childhood game.
Right.
And it's, we both were talking about it, and it's like, yeah, police trainer, that's the best
about
game.
Area 51?
No, this is better. Area 51's great.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it's up there.
You know, they had a diehard video
game. That was like a dollar fucking to play, and like that was still like one of the more expensive arcade games to play always.
Yeah.
And so, like, and then from there, like, I feel like you didn't like last long enough for it to be a dollar. Police training, you put a fucking quarter in there and play for 20 minutes as long as you were good. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they just didn't, they just had all like the new arcade games. They didn't have any of the old school ones. None of them gave you barely any instruction. And before you knew it, you're like, well, that was a waste of like $4. I didn't even understand like what I was doing. So
when they have Guitar Hero as one of the games, you're like, well, we should leave this place. This is not exactly what I was
They had, what's that one where you slice the fruit?
Oh, Fruit Ninja?
Fruit. They had Fruit Ninja. They had cell phone fucking games. They had Angry Birds. I was like, what the fuck is going on? So it was just like, wasted like $40 there. I was like, hey, so let's never come back. And she's like, yeah, let's never do that again. So anyways, that was well worth it.
Especially for you guys. You're not even like getting the what's supposed to be fun about it is as an adult, I had to go drink and play arcade games. You guys don't drink. So like it's like really wasted on you guys.
Yeah. So, I'm just glad we didn't eat there. So it would have been triple whammy.
Yeah, really. Actually, the food there is not the worst. It's not like very good, but I've had worse at like kind of those dingy places, you know. Like I'm not gonna
It's like
get
a Fuddruckers type of place.
Yeah, yeah.
Duckfuckers?
they used to have a place in maybe 15 miles, 20 miles north of where we're at right now. That's called Nickel City.
Okay, yeah, so they still have it.
No, Nickel City. Oh, is it moved?
Well, they have a Nickel City.
Oh,
and it is 15 minutes north, but it wasn't open at the time we were going to go. So we're like, oh, let's just go to Dave and Buster's.
Okay. Nickel City is the shit because it's all old school games.
Yeah.
It's like the newest game they have there is Skee-Ball. Like, their fucking games are all old. I play like just like Tekken on that shit. You know, whatever, old joystick and mash the button games and all the classics, you know what I mean?
So unfortunately, that's just a waste of money, but we still had a fun time. Went and got a couples massage.
How was that?
Happy endings?
No happy endings. Although, like, we walked in, it was like, I mean, like, there's a lot of Asian massage parlors around, but, like, this had, like, you know, young college girls working at the front desk, and then we go in, and it's, like, all Asian masseuses. Not that there's anything wrong with that, it's just, like,
typical.
You think you're going to get a hand job?
No.
You ask for a table shower.
Yeah,
that's the real thing. I heard an inside information.
Yeah, you heard.
You go to one of those places.
I'm sure you heard it.
I mean, I
on
used
your
it.
Crotch.
Whatever, it doesn't matter. Either way, I know that it's table shower is the thing you ask for.
I mean, I shouldn't be saying this, but I feel like you're insulting me by pretending like I don't know that already.
Well, I've never gone and had a massage before, but now that I know table shower, I'm going to go check it out.
Table shower.
Yeah. So, did a couple other things after that, and we ended the night, like any good anniversary proposal, at Sinopolis watching Rogue One. If you're not familiar with Sinopolis, it's a very fancy movie theater. It's, you know, there's kind of a trend of high-class movie theaters where, you know, you each have, like, this big lazy boy and little table that comes swivels out to you, and you got a little call button, and then like during the movie or during the previews or whatever, the little waitress will come out and like take your order, and you know they got like booze and steaks and all this stuff, and super fancy place.
It's good,
super good.
I think I talked before on the cats, and I'd never been to one before until Hot Sauce here took me to see Rogue One on opening night at a Sinopolis. I was like, wow, okay.
It wasn't Sinopolis, but it's
similar. I mean, like, same concept. So it was like, yeah, it was fantastic.
And we went and got our fancy San Diego beers, and we talked about it, you know. But it's a good time. It's, like, totally worth it.
That's the one down in, like, Chula Vista or something?
No, that's the one that's in, it's in Carmel Mountain Ranch.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So it's actually the same. It's funny because that same place is where Nickel City was that closed down.
Okay.
It's their, like, their neighbors.
That's why I recognize that strip mall.
Okay. Nickel City was there.
Gotcha.
There was a theater there, then it turned into this newer theater, And the tickets are... So here's the thing about these luxury theaters is like Sinopolis is the best, but it's like $21 a ticket or something like that, $22 a ticket. And then this other one is like middle of the line where you still get like the recliners and you can still order stuff. You just can't order it at your seat. But it's $14 on weekdays and $16 on weekends. That's like totally a fair price. So I only go there now. Sinopolis, I'm not going there anymore because it's just, this place is so much cheaper.
Yeah. Know? So, yeah, we had a good time and... you know, she was feeling good about the proposal and about all the good things we had done that day. And let's just say we'd already seen Rogue One.
Yeah, did you get a theater handy?
Well, more? Well,
yeah, good for you.
Things happened.
I'm so proud of you.
Things happened to each other. Whatever.
Did I not read this?
Yeah, this is great.
Why don't you just say it? Don't be around the bush. It's a bad podcast.
Got a blowjob. It was great.
Yeah.
Watching Star Wars.
Yeah.
In a fucking...
Every man's dream.
In a lazy boy. It's great.
This is going to be all like, oh, I'm all excited now. Talking about some shit like this. My dream is to get a blowjob while playing a video game. On the couch and like no interaction from me. I'm not even looking at her. But I just get the whole complete package.
Yeah.
And I'm just still... Chugging away at Gears of War.
I would love to tell you.
She's chugging away.
I would love to tell you that it's like everything it's made out to be. I mean, it is, but guess what? You can't play the video game correctly. You're like trying, and you're just like dying. Dead.
No, you're getting mad, you're rage quitting, and you're throwing your controller on the table.
I'm like,
God damn it.
I'm like a really experienced female porn star in this way. Where, like, all the crazy shit could be happening, straight face, not even, I'm just thinking about the weather, what I'm doing tomorrow, like, not even a problem. Just like that. Just like that woman that you just know is faking it, but you really know she can hardly feel it.
Yeah.
That's, I'm that.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Is that a good thing?
I don't know.
And then, so immediately after that, she's like, man, it's kind of cold in here, and she was like already wearing a jacket, so I was like, ah, here, have my jacket, there's cum all over, whatever, you know, like it's fine. And then anyways, by the end,
she's coming the pop.
But at the end she was like, I think I'm like sick, and we get home, she has like a fever of 101. I'm like, oh, that's great.
Did you get a fever through your cock?
Hey,
no,
thank God you got all the goods before figured it out.
Yeah, there was a
before the headache occurred.
There was a clock and it was ticking down. And I fucking got there.
Got it.
We got him. Got there, fellas.
That's dope, though. By the way, I'm super proud.
Good
of you.
For you.
Thank you.
Super proud of you.
My sex in theater last time was we saw Blood and Chocolate. And it was a fucking horrible, like, nothing garbage movie. She wanted to see it, and she realized, like, wow, this is really bad 20 minutes in. Next thing you know, we end up, like, fucking in the theater. And it was just great. It was fantastic. And finished, came on the seat in front of us. It was, you know, movie theater fucking is amazing. So, good for you. Yeah. Blowjob. That's great.
I don't have that story, so continue on.
Yeah, so,
public antics. The best.
I'm going to get a blowjob in a theater when I was, like, a teenager, but that's not...
Nobody wants to hear about
that. Yeah, nobody cares about
that. Nobody cares what was happening when you were watching A Bug's Life. Okay? Right.
Yeah. It was Mulan, goddammit. I have no idea.
So, Mulan. Why is Mulan so easily the tip of your tongue?
Because it's true.
Because it's true.
So anyways, I was like, oh, that's a bummer. And I wake up the next day. Yeah, I'm sick as fuck, too. And... end up going through like 3 or 4 days of just like shaky body ache, throwing up, fever, 103. I don't know, like I can stand being sick, like whatever, I'll go to work, school, whatever. But like when I have a fever and it's like, you know, just like when you fall asleep and then you have like fever dreams and like you think saying, like
last time you had the fever, you had those great dreams of you having to wake up like dumping water and ice on yourself. Then didn't wake up to it because they're just dreams.
Yeah, yeah. And like, people were like talking. You know, it's like I felt like I was a tweaker. You know what I mean? Like people who weren't there were talking to me, and it's just like I just hate that like insanity of like being that sick. And
you guys didn't take any of this as a bad omen.
Well, I am now. But anyways, I had to miss work and like miss the first day of school because school just started, and. Anyways, turns out my mom needs, like, surgery and stuff, and, like, that's where we think we got sick was ER, because we went to urgent care to the ER, and there were just all these just the worst, like, so we went to this one hospital in El Cajon, and Like, out of all the urgent rooms, like, this place is the only one that, like, pats you down and has, like, a metal detector, like, wave stick. Like, that's the high-class hospital.
I've never been to a place like that.
It's Grossmont.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then just so...
Well, I've been there. That place isn't that bad, though.
Well, it's not that bad, but you're just...
It's not a bad area, but it is strange to walk in, like, have to, like, get your bag searched and get your crotch grabbed. It's just strange.
Yeah, so that's just giving you a little preview of the people who frequent this establishment. And just imagine all those people horribly sick and just coughing everywhere. And so, yeah, that's where we think we got sick from. And it's a bummer, but just, like, threw a fucking monkey wrench and all these plans, and it's just been a shit show of this past like week and a half of hanging out with my mom, helping her like get up and down off the toilet because she's just old and doesn't know how to like the wheelchair doesn't like get in the bathroom. I don't have to like wipe or anything. Okay, thank God it's not that far. But
I'm glad you answered the question I was gonna ask.
Yeah. So it's just like all this bullshit's been going on. So that's been my past couple weeks.
I like how your one reprieve from this was I randomly ran into you at McDonald's. Yeah. Went inside because the fucking line was like super long for the drive-thru. I'm standing there ordering, and here comes Knife. I'm like, oh, okay. And he tells me this whole story about his mom and the broken ankle, and they're going to probably have to decapitate it. Amputate it.
Whatever. Yeah. Just take the head right off the arm. Yeah.
Met his dad for the first time.
Yeah, that was great.
Just like a quiet individual.
Yeah, you know, Crow's second sentence to my dad was like, had a cuss word in it. I'm like... Do you see how old this man is right here? He's probably...
As soon as I said to him, like, well, now he knows who I am and his friends, you know, who nice friends are, but you know, whatever.
You're an idiot sometimes.
Hey, I didn't cuss at the man. But look, I don't know him as an individual, but if he's uber Christian, well, then that's awkward that he raised you, so I don't know, like...
He's not, he's just old.
He's just old. Well, he's just, whatever.
He's just so old.
I'm not used to people cussing at him, that's all.
Cuss at him.
Why is everyone yelling at me?
He didn't even know where he was.
The world is so scary now.
Then walking away, your friend's like, your friend's rude.
he didn't say anything. Because he was in shock, no. But, so yeah, our anniversary was awesome. She got me 6 or 7 anniversary presents, which was just fucking awesome. I didn't expect any of it. And so she kind of gave me one a day leading up to our anniversary. And she got me a couple board games, one being Codenames. I always heard Jay Boosh and a couple of guys on the A-Team talk about it. So I thought I'd give that a try. The other one is some House of Knights Betrayal or some like spooky House on the Hill sort of fucking thing going on.
I heard
on.
About this, though. I looked up like a brief description of it.
Yeah.
And it sounded really fun, actually.
Yeah, it's like different every time you play it
It sound. It doesn't sound like quite... Like, up our alley, it doesn't seem, like, strategic and all this crazy stuff. It just seems like a good Saturday night with your friends, you know, kind of like what Werewolf was.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
It's like that. It's just going to be fun and enjoyable.
Is this
and
one of those ones, like,
skill-intensive?
Somebody gets murdered and you try to figure it out? Like, charades kind
of
party?
No, it's more of, like, a actual board game, okay. I think, but I'm not 100% sure.
That's Clue, what we're talking about, what you're talking about.
No. Yeah. Anyways. Not actual board game, but I'm actually... trying to figure out who killed somebody, you're asking other people questions and shit.
That's charades you're talking about.
Speaking of...
That's Monopoly you're talking about.
That's fucking, guess who.
Guess who.
So,
see, get it? Guess who the murderer is.
So speaking of murdering people, she also got me throwing knives, which I don't know why.
She
always...
told me about that before, I'm like, that's not a good choice. We're going to kill each other in this fucking garage.
I got a friend of mine throwing knives one time. It's a weird choice to make. I don't know why you're doing something like
that. I mean, it's fun, but we're going to get hurt.
We are.
I was like, I just want to learn how to like throw knives. I think that'd be badass. And I really need to learn. I need to read or something because I can't even like throw them into the soft dirt and like get them to stick. I'm just like, yeah.
You're probably dulling the shit out of your blades by throwing them
well,
in the
dirt.
Well,
they're like starter blades, whatever. It doesn't matter. So anyways.
Stop giving me guff, man. Yeah. Let me enjoy my blades.
Whatever. Dull them up if I want to.
My name is Knife City, motherfucker.
Yeah, I need them.
I got plenty of knives.
Funny.
I forget. She got me a foil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Full art. Texas Damnation.
Damnation.
Woo! number two to the collection.
She made a comment to me. She's like, oh, he's been wanting this car for so long and so expensive. So I got him when he finally has one now. I'm like, oh, he already has one. I didn't tell her that, though. But, yeah.
Yeah, so that's number two, which is exciting. I want to complete the playset someday. And hopefully they don't keep going up. And then the present I was most excited for, and you're like, but the damnation, but knives, fucking what? When she gave me this, I did a lap around the front yard, giggling like a little girl while holding the present. I got a new version, not new version, but I got Risk Legacy, which, for anybody who's listened to the cast, that was kind of... was down the street from Magic. We played Risk Legacy, and then we went on to play Magic, and we just stuck with Magic.
Yeah, we've talked about it on numerous casts, but it's a Legacy refers to, it's a game of Risk, but it's one-time use. You play 15 games with the same people, and when it's over, you throw the board away, basically.
Yeah, you make permanent changes to the board. You know, certain things happen in certain games, and you they add new rules. You rip up old rules. You make take a permanent marker and write this on the board and all this stuff. And it's like the funnest board game I ever played, hands down. Can't even think like what comes second. Like it's that
Pandemic,
it's that
great Legacy.
Pandemic is a pretty good game, but. So the only stipulation is that she gets to play it with us because we've talked about it so much. So it's just going to be me, Hot Sauce, and her, and definitely no Jersey.
God damn it. Ever since joining this fucking this cast, you guys are talking about this game, ever since then I wanted to fucking play it, so you're a cunt.
No, but we're all going to play. We're going to try and find a day that works for all of us and start playing it here pretty soon. So that was just... I'm still,
exciting, yeah.
I see the fucking box in my room. I'm just like, oh man. I was like rubbing on it. And then like I noticed there was like tape, like packing tape over like the edges. And I was like, wait a minute. Somebody didn't like play it and then like just stick it back in the box and then, like, sell it. So I did open it just to make sure that everything was sealed on the inside. And yes, everything's sealed. So
yeah, okay. So last thing to say about it is that it's important because... the pieces and the new cards and all this stuff, they're in sealed little cardboard packages inside the box. And
yeah.
It says on there, do not open this because it's a mystery. Do not open this until such and such event happens and then open this motherfucker up and then you can be excited about what changes. But it's really cool to see a box that's like, do not touch. And then you're like, oh, this game's crazy.
Yeah.
Can't open the box yet.
Yeah, so I'm definitely excited to play it. And I vaguely remember what's inside the...
I remember totally.
I remember a couple things, but...
to me.
What's that?
It'll be new to me.
Yeah, don't. Yeah, we're not going to talk about it for sure.
Yeah. So, anyways.
Yeah, she. Last time we were over here, and you got to go run the little errand and get like dog food or some shit.
Yeah.
She got back before you, and she told me all of the stuff she got you. I was like, yeah, fucking awesome. He's going to love all this shit, and I'm stoked to play Rick's Legacy now, too.
Yeah. So, got a bunch of board games, just got a bunch of cool shit. So, super stoked. She's awesome. There's a reason I'm marrying this broad. And our wedding is going to be Nintendo themed. So,
good for you.
Mostly Mario. I mean, I like Mario, but, you know, she's not like a hardcore gamer, you know, she likes the easier, softer stuff. I mean, you know, she'll play, Tomb Raider and she played, Watch Dogs and stuff like that, but, her favorites are Mario. And so I get to throw in like some Zelda or Mega Man or whatever.
I can really appreciate that it's going to be like that. Cause I feel that it takes a little bit of balls in like modern day to do something like that,
yeah.
I feel like, to actually make it happen. You know, it's like a fun idea to a lot of people. It'd be a really fun idea for me, but I just can't see it happening for myself when it does, you know? Even though it'd be amazing,
yeah.
I just don't know if it's something like that could happen. You know, I just think it's... tradition is hard to shake, you know?
Yeah, and she's the one to, like, totally grab the bull by the dickhead and just make something like that happen. So she's already, like, you know, got, like... invitations all planned out to look like the original cartridges and all this cool shit. So I'm just like, right on. It's not that big of a pain in the ass to help out with the wedding when it's like cool shit like that, you know? So that's what's been going on with me. Let's get some funny shit going on here. What do you got there, Saucy B? Saucy B. Crumbly?
What is his name again? Salacious B. Crumb, right?
Salacious B. Crumb.
Salacious B. Crumb.
Look him up.
Salacious. Sally B.
It's
all
worth
right.
It.
Yeah. dude, I'm still not working. I'm just chilling.
Woo!
Like a villain. It's been a while since we've all met up, you know, so not a whole lot's happened. You know what I did, though, is I went on like a 3-day rampage of just watching movies. Not like me. I watch probably like 4 movies a year, and they're probably all in theaters. I'm just not a movie kind of guy.
Yeah.
But I was not in a video game mood. I was in the mood of just like, I wanted to just sit there.
You want to sit and not have to like interact.
Yeah, I didn't want to hold the controller. I didn't want to think. I just wanted to like, nah. Mind off. Let's watch some stupid shit. And I got that that Kodi. I think I talked about it. That Fire Stick.
Okay.
It has like the alternate operating system on it that has like torrent stuff. This is all legit. I mean, I don't actually have it. But
right.
If I did, then I'd watch a bunch of sci-fi shit. So I watched... Start off with the best. I'm going to do my... So Tom Porter, one of our listeners, he's like, I love it when you guys do reviews of things. And I'm like, all right, fine. Review hour. Here it comes. So first movie on the list, Arrival. Arrival is a movie that came out a couple months ago, probably like November or something. I don't really remember. But it is like a sci-fi movie. You know, like the trailer, I'm not giving anything away. There's like some big fucking black bean-shaped goddamn spaceship that's like 1,000 feet tall floating above... You know, somewhere on Earth, you know, someone, you know, it's like 20 feet off the ground, 40 feet off the ground or something like that. And it's just there. And like, no one, you know, nobody's coming out. Nothing's happening. But the world is at a standstill. Like, what the fuck are we going to do? And the movie just takes off from like that, basically.
You got is, this where the, girl, she's like,
you got to be easy with the conversation, though, just in case.
It's well, like, no, well, I haven't seen the movie. So, okay. Like, this is one that was out in theaters not that long ago where it has like the redhead who's like the crazy sister. In Wedding Crashers and shit. Is that the same girl?
I don't think it's that girl.
Okay, but anyways. But yeah, but she's like world renowned and being able to figure out like dead languages and like symbols and how to talk to different beings well, so they choose okay, her.
So that's good. I didn't know any of this going into the movie.
Well, that's
so
in the trailer.
They said it in the trailer, So yeah, basically, yeah, it's just there's something going on with the ship and they want to have her specialty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's just that person. So just like
the trailer looked interesting. I heard good things about it. I almost saw it in theaters just didn't get a chance.
I'll say that it's number one on my list right now. It is one of the best movies.
Okay,
I know it's a fantastic movie. I can't say enough about it. It's fantastic. So it's just one of those. You know, it's got little twists and turns, and the story is like simple enough to get through. You know, I guess it kind of. If you guys ever seen Interstellar, with Matthew McConaughey, it's kind of similar to that. Like very loosely, it's not the same at all. But I mean. If you're saying about what kind of movie it might be,
right.
It's something like that, you know, in that kind of sci-fi way. Anyways, that is fucking fantastic movie. Loved it. And then after that, I watched Ex Machina, which is a movie that came out 2015, sci-fi movie. Basically, dude makes a artificial intelligence, you know, that makes like a woman that's all fucking robotic and shit. But... the woman is...
Doesn't have a mouth.
But it has 2 vaginas. No. I'm just kidding. No, it's like normal. Looks like a normal woman, basically. For the
well, just
because
Machina, mouth, Spanish.
Is it?
I think so.
No, I don't know.
Maybe? I don't know. I'm just making
it just says like... anyways. It looks like Ex Machina, as it looks like, but I think it's Ex Machina. Anyways, it's totally self-aware. Like, you know, it's the first of its kind where it's not just... It's just the classic AI story, you know what I mean? Where, like, one thing, robot in the world is now self-aware and, like, can communicate like normal. It has feelings and fear and love and all this normal shit, you know what I mean? And it's a story of this guy that he makes it or whatever and then has this guy come out to basically run a test with it. And there's a name for the test. Yes. It's like a test that they run. It's like a test that... Like, talk to this robot. If you can't, like, if you can ask it questions and if you feel, once by the end of this test, that it's, you know, acting on its own and there's no way that, like, you know, you're asking all the right questions that there's no way I could have programmed these answers or something like that, then that's, like, the test. So they ran, like, a 7-day test of, like, you know, and the movie takes off from there. You know, it's, like, got some twists and turns and shit like that. It's a good sci-fi flick. So, I really like that one, too, though. And there's a lot of boobies in it. Woohoo! Yay, boobies!
Boobies!
And,
wasn't there a fucking like, anime? Ex Machina, isn't there an anime from there? Or is just
I don't know.
Standalone
I actually
thing?
Have no idea. It'd probably be a good anime, too, though. It's got a good, simple story as well. It's not as good as Arrival, for sure, but it was really good. But the chick is super good-looking, too, which is a good plus.
Good robot sex?
Good robot sex. Tons of it. And Past that, I watched Sausage Party.
Boo.
Sausage Party was...
not good.
Well, I don't want to say it's not good.
But it's not good.
But...
not great.
It wasn't great. It had some moments for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But... and I did... it's weird to say, like... I want to say it's, like, smarter than people would, like, think it would be. But it's still really... I don't know. It's kind of like South Park or something like that. Or even Family Guy, where... it's real stupid humor, like real just down in the gutters humor, but you can tell there's some intelligence thinking behind some of the jokes and like the setups and shit like that. But overall, I'd give it like a, I don't know, like a 6 out of 10 or something. Yeah, like that.
Don't pay for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Watch it if you sit there randomly sit on Netflix or something like that and you come across it, but don't go out of your way to go get this.
Yeah,
movie. It's not good.
Pretty much. I watched Chappie, another sci-fi flick. Mm-hmm. You heard this one?
Yeah, that's the fucking like robots, like a little badass robot kind
yeah.
of deal.
Yeah, so I think it's by the guys that made District 9, which is a great movie.
Yeah, that's what it was, yeah. Very, very similar.
This movie was not nearly as good as that movie. This movie was only okay, actually. It was fucking weird. And it was fun, but it was just kind of... the story just took some weird turns, and it didn't leave a good taste in my mouth. So I wouldn't recommend that one, to be honest. Even though if you like sci-fi stuff, it's worth a watch, I guess. Like, it's not like... I don't really have too much negative shit to say, other than it's just... didn't do it for me. The story was a little too awkward, a little too weird. And the characters, I didn't like the characters in it. They had these weird, like, foreign gangsters in it that were, I don't even know where they're, like, from fucking Sweden or some shit like that. And they're all, like, dingy punk rock gangster guys. And I was like, what the fuck am I watching right now? Shit was weird.
There's nothing I hate more than Sweden dingy punk rock gangster guys.
Fucking weird, man.
The Swedes are a clean folk. It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. Yeah, it's all the world's backwards. It's upside down. Let me see if I got anything else. I know I had some other fucking movies.
My three droogies.
What other fucking movies I watch, huh? What other ones?
He couldn't name that movie.
I know.
No. Anyways, I went on a fucking bender. I'll see if I can remember any more that I saw, but I just watched like movies Alex, back to back to fucking back, Alex. And I just 3 days straight of just watching a bunch of shit. So
nice.
But fucking Arrival.
Arrival.
Arrival is what is up.
Hmm.
Really good movie.
Interesting.
I don't know, man. It's been simple. I've been doing a lot of like projects around the house. Oh, I did. I posted on Twitter. I got some foil magic cards, and I used some acetone, and I removed some of the ink from it and made like cool design shit. Like take the borders away instead of being like black border or white border. It's just like completely reflective foil border. And did some funky shit like that. I just saw some YouTube video. They just said like how to, you know, customize cards or whatever. And so I checked it out. Very simple instructions. You just use like some acetone and fucking, what is it, cotton swabs and Q-tips and shit like that. And just like attack it and take your time with it. And you can like, make whatever design you want on a fucking magic card as long as it started off as a foil. Pretty dope. I guess it's like how the proxy guy does. I'm pretty sure he just gets like a foil of any type. I'm sure he has like sets that he likes. Like maybe like, oh, I don't use like the Modern Masters kind.
No,
or whatever.
He has a full on process. He talks about like randomly.
Yeah, I haven't seen his process, but I'm sure like he just knows that Lorwyn has the best foils. Blah blah blah. The easiest ink to remove, and I'm sure he does the same thing. Just use the fucking acetone, remove it completely clean, and then he probably sets it up in some type of special photo printer or something like that, and is able to print his proxies exactly on that. I'm pretty sure that's how it works out.
Yeah.
It seems like that's what he has to do, is just get any card, strip it down to bare foil, and then print on top of that. And it's interesting to see. I don't know, like, when you look at a card, I don't see, like, taking off the ink, it just seems so different than what I see, like, printed on there. For some reason, on, like, a foil, I wasn't sure if it was, like, printed on top of it or, like, it was printed below and then they foiled on top of it. Like, I don't know the process.
Yeah.
And so doing it the first time, I'm like, it's just that simple. They just literally print out a piece of cardboard or get a piece of cardboard and fucking print on top of it. Like, easy peasy.
Yeah.
It's not some special process of, like, multiple techniques and all this weird stuff. It's just, like, just get your fucking print, just like you're making money, and just, like, bam, there it is. Pretty weird.
Bam.
So, bam. I don't really have much to say, though. I just went on a fucking bender. I haven't been playing much video games at all. Pretty much nothing like that at all.
Oh, man.
The
worst.
Went and saw August Burns Red and Protest the Hero for anyone out there that likes that kind of metal music. Saw that one Friday. That was pretty fucking awesome.
Bitching.
Super Bowl's this weekend.
No drunken passing out in House of Blues.
Didn't even.
This time.
I had. You know what? This is the first time Soma San Diego, a little fucking dingy venue, about 1,000 people or something like that. They actually sold alcohol there. The side stage was a bar. They like closed off, and then they had the main stage was where they had a performance. Okay. Never seen that before. Yeah. I've been there like 100 fucking times.
Yeah, I've been there so many years, but all the times I've been there, they never had booze.
No,
there.
Absolutely not.
It you had to go to the parking crazy. Lot, drink in your car, and like knock a cop with the security guards.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they also like they had like some restaurant that was in the parking lot, and that is completely demolished, and now it's just parking. It's totally weird. I haven't been there in probably like a year or something like that, and it was totally different looking. Good fucking time though, tell you that much. Later on though, I want to talk about some Magic the Gathering Frontier. So remind me, talk about some decks and whatever we've been playing and some good stuff.
So good.
That's been a lot of my free time has been just brewing on Magic Online. Not too much Magic talk, just saying, because you can do the free form thing on MTGO, and the cards are so cheap because they're just out of rotation standard cards, not popular for modern cards. Everything in MTGO is really, really fucking cheap, and so you're able to make decks for really, really cheap. So I have been brewing up a fucking storm online, and only half as much, not even half as much in paper, but we'll get on there.
So what's up with you, Crow?
Myself, last couple of weeks here, been spreading the disease that it is Magic. Been teaching a couple guys at work how to play the game. One of them actually just recently quit working there, but he's still down to start learning it. The other guy, it's kind of cool. I'm able to hang out with them, teach them how to play, you know, or work. We go to work, then after work, we get off at like 3:30 in the morning. He lives downtown, so it's like, okay, well, let's go play Magic for an hour. Let's teach you some more how to play. And just hop by his place for an hour and play some Magic before going home.
You guys didn't go to Starbucks like we used to do?
No, this is
playing in public.
This is
pretty weird playing in public.
Yeah, it is kind of a different feeling.
Then you have weird people come up to you. Remember that one girl who worked there was like super, made it super weird.
Oh, and, yeah. And this is in the very beginning.
We're not coming back to this Starbucks.
This chick that was working there came out. And, like, was talking to us and was like, oh, I don't have my cards with me, but I would totally play with you guys and whatever else. And it was weird.
I don't know what made it weird, but I remember just feeling, like, very socially awkward about it.
At this point, you're probably still that much more, like,
well, we were, like,
yeah, that nerd feeling of, like, oh, my God, I'm playing Magic the
Gathering. We were, like, 2 weeks into playing.
Yeah, you don't want to admit you're playing it or, like, know that anybody in the world know you're playing it yet.
And I think she was, like, socially awkward, but she was, like, trying. And then we were socially awkward, and we're like, okay. Like, we're being nice, but just like,
Wait, don't look at me. Oh, yeah. My God.
And what do you do if you're socially awkward and something like that's going to happen? You just totally avoid that person and avoid that thing, and you just get the fuck out of there and never come back. That's what you do.
Exactly.
That's what everyone does.
And we're like, all right, see you tomorrow, and then we just left forever.
Yep.
We don't even go back to that city anymore.
Yeah. Yep. GPS taking me over there? No, we got an alternate route. Sorry. Nope, got to go around it.
So, yeah, we've been teaching them how to play over there. It's funny because I told you before how I don't want to tell anybody at work about Magic or about the podcast. I've told you before, like, it's one of those – it still has a stipulation to it, you know. So not many people at work know about it. There's a couple here or there that know that I play Magic or know they do podcasts, and that's because they themselves play Magic. And even then, it's like more of a hush-hush. Like, you know, they don't want to tell other people as well. But I don't even know how. But like now, suddenly, like my podcast, our podcast has been like slowly spreading its way through the bar. Like people start to know about it now. It's like I'll get a random host walk up to me, like, "So you have a podcast?" And they don't necessarily know like what it's about yet. So I'm like, "Where are you telling?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm on a podcast."
It sounds like a bigger deal than it is. We just kind of record ourselves and put it out there. Like nobody's asking us to. We're just doing it.
If you want to hear a lot of dick jokes.
Well, we're recording ourselves talk next to a bunch of Jack-in-the-Box trash and old Christmas wrappings. It's super, super luxurious over here. Just high-class fucking shit.
Highbrow comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Good conversation. Well-thought-out topics.
So it was just kind of funny, you know. Nothing to really come from it, but just kind of that funny little moment of random people fucking starting to know about it or whatever. And so the other funny part is while teaching this guy how to play Magic, like he's a cool guy. He's like 6 years old, younger than me though. So, and he's still like doing that growing up and learning some cool, like new, you know, some shit. So it's this random, like weird little timing, like without any like meaning to, it's become this like mentoring this guy into how to being a fucking man rather than like the new world of social technology type of fad hipster type shit that people are now like dependent on like.
So what social media. What are you teaching them? I'm trying to think exactly what kind of stuff we're talking about here.
Like, in general, like, well, first off, like, different things of like how, like, I wingmanned them with the girl at the bar. She was, I'm friends with her, and like I could tell like, she liked him. And then he, you know, he was so oblivious to the fact that she was liked him because he's like more on his phone or some shit. So I don't know. It's become this like random like weird mentor thing of like, dude, like be a man more than being stuck in your goddamn phone on social media. It's, I don't know. It's a weird situation, but it's kind of cool. Kind of interesting to fucking, and I've been teaching them better music and showing them like real fucking music and the roots of where things come from rather than just being fed what you're fed in the fucking media world.
Anyway. Yeah. I do. I understand what you're saying, though.
It's strange. Like, for me to mentor somebody in some kind of weird way, it's a weird fucking feeling, but.
If he trusts you, man, it's fun. It's good.
But at the same time, you know, he's his own man, but it's funny. It's fun to fuck with him. So, you know, he's like a fucking bodybuilder. You know, he's a personal trainer type of thing, but. It's fun to fuck with those kind of guys. And so he's been challenging me at the bar to arm wrestle. And I didn't want to fucking... One, I can't do it at the bar because manager will look down on it. But also, like, two, I didn't want to embarrass him in front of other people because he's going to, like, feel bad. Like, that's what he's all about. It's like, you know, bodybuilding and shit. I'm like, dude, I'm going to beat you. And so we end up at his house. And we end up arm wrestling. He puts up a good fight to it, but I end up beating him. I kind of told him afterwards, like, dude, I kind of hustled you a little bit here because... Back in my old party house, we used to sit there, and I'd run the gauntlet, where I'd sit down. I think the most I ever did in a row was I beat 9 opponents in a row without me having a break between arm wrestling matches. So it was just kind of like this fucking... They sit down, go, I beat them, and the next person would go. The only break would be, like, two people were lefty, so I beat them left-handed. And so, like, he's like, oh, well, fuck you, and this and that. So he's kind of a cocky, cocky young guy, but it's funny to humble somebody like that a little bit and teach him something new. So
remember when we arm wrestled, Jersey?
Yeah.
Remember that at all?
No.
Oh, okay.
Did you beat me?
I don't know. Maybe.
How wasted was I? Because I don't remember this.
I don't know. Don't tell you. Anyways.
Okay. Well, let's do it again then.
Yeah, right.
Anyways, it's just been like, you know, interesting teaching this guy how to play some magic, teaching him some new shit about the world and listening to real music and shit. So
teaching him how real men shake hands.
Oh, yeah.
Cock the mouth. Yeah.
I taught him about docking.
Okay, good, good.
Did you tell the audience about your sweet beanie?
I have not. Yes.
Rastafari. Rastafari.
The Christmas present from Hot Sauce is coming. Demir beanie, you got me. It is sweet. It is kind of on the larger side.
It's large. It's like very handmade. Homemade.
Yeah, so it's got a large knit pattern to it, but it's fucking sweet. It's just big.
It's okay. You got a big bulldog head like me. So.
When I put it on and... I have a big fucking melon head, so it was still a little loose on me. I'm like, wow, whose head is this for? It's definitely for a guy with dreads put up above his fucking head. This thing can hold a lot. It's that fucking dude from MTV. Remember after Carson Daly left and there's that dude with the dreads that was like all over all that shit?
Yeah.
What the fuck's his name? Tweak? I don't fucking know what his name is. What? I don't fucking know. He had some fucking stupid name like that. It wasn't like Chris. It was like fucking, I don't even know. I don't even have a good one.
Are you talking about the guy who won the VJ? Or are you talking about the black guy?
The black guy.
Okay. Because there was that one.
He's got some fucking tall hair. The motherfucker always has it up. This is, and see, I could totally be wrong because this memory is just a
memory. No, you're right. You're
what's
good.
His name?
I don't know what the fuck his name
tweak.
Is.
Tweak. It's something, dude.
Tweak.
Twack. Something.
Yeah.
Skipper. I don't fucking know, dude. Something crazy.
McGillicuddy.
Tell me in the comments.
Oh, hell. Other than that, just been kind of playing a little Magic Duels with a new set coming out on there. I did start playing a new game on mobile games. There's a Star Wars Force Arena, kind of a MOBA kind of game. So that was pretty good if you want to check it out. If you like mobile games and that kind of shit. So besides Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes, Star Wars Force Arena is good. So
MOBA, it's like live action, right? It's like slow moving, but you still like... Kind of like what Diablo or something like that is, right? I know, like, it's not the same. I know that League of Legends and shit like that and Smite is like MOBA. Yeah. But generally speaking, it's still just like you have a character. You're like running around, making him move to different spots and then just like do his attacks and whatever.
Yeah, but then with Star Wars, though, it's a little different because now you're able to... It like builds up an energy and like you're able to use a card and like that puts like whatever unit or squadron you may have in your particular deck... It'll use them to go on the battlefield and you're trying to destroy their turrets, trying to kill their leader, that kind of a deal. So, I don't know. It's a lot of fun. So it's a good game.
Another movie that I remembered. Hardcore Henry.
Oh, super good. I fucking loved it.
So that's that first-person movie, right?
First-person one. Yeah.
I wanted to see it in theaters and get a chance. I watched
it. Yeah, I wanted to see it really bad in theaters. So I'll say what... I'm not as enthusiastic about it as Crow, but I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. I did not like... I didn't think it was the best movie ever.
Well, no, I'm not saying that.
It's hard to recommend, too, because it's such a strange... It's strange. It's strange.
But it's,
it kind of reminds me of something like...
But it's fucking awesome, though, man. It's so much fun.
It does... Yeah, the thing is, it reminds me of something like Kung Fury or something like that, where it just has a sense of humor to it. And it's not, like, outrageous like Kung Fury, but it just has a sense of humor. It, like, knows what it is, and it just does strange things. I'll tell you one thing.
Kind of like Crank a little bit in that way?
More ridiculous than that, for sure, okay, though. But, yeah.
It's but just like kind of aware bit. Of itself, yes. You know?
So, I'll tell you one thing, though. There is no movie ever made, possibly never will be made, that is more like a video game.
Yeah.
And it is because, yes, it's first person, you know, GoPro on their face or chest or helmet or whatever. And so, the whole movie is shot, you know, first person. That's the whole thing. Like, shaky cam, not very good definition, you know, resolution on the on the picture.
At
or
the same time, I didn't find it hard to... Like, you know, it's, what was that movie, like, that District 8 or whatever, what the fuck
is it? No. Cloverfield.
Cloverfield. So, like, that, like, watching that, I couldn't watch that fucking movie. It was so unbearable. The nonstop, like, how it was running and how it was shot. I couldn't follow it. It was annoying. It made me, like, not sick to watch it, but I didn't care. It was like gotcha. No, too much.
I love Cloverfield.
But Hardcore Henry, like, it wasn't this over-the-top, like, shaking, moving around where you couldn't know what the fuck's going on. It was done well for, like, the stability of it.
It was done pretty well.
The shots were done with how much movement and what's going on for the first person.
It parkour was... actors and everything that they hired to, like, get this shit done. There's a lot of, like, crazy scenes that, you know, were they had to be real. There wasn't a lot of CGI nonsense. But I'll tell you, let me tell you about how video game this is. I'm going to give a little part away, which is just the opening. Opening scene, you, like, basically wake up, like, laid out on, like, a surgical table or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the doctor is above you. Like, the cute female doctor is, like, there telling you about, like, why you're asleep and whatever else. And it's just that classic. It's just, like, so many video games start off the same way where, like, they wake you up. And, like, now it's like, oh, you are ready to do this
Look up, look down.
Yeah, look down.
Your mind working.
Exactly. It's like that. And it's like,
it was like that.
Do you remember what happened to this point? And then you shake your head no. And it's like, this is a fucking video game. It's a fucking video game. And, of course, the shooting and the action and, like, the way he throws grenades and all this stuff. It's just a fucking video game. The story from beginning to end. How it ends, how it begins. Some of the scenes that happen in the middle feel exactly like a single-player campaign to, like, the very specific details. It's fucking great in that way. So great in that way.
That scene where they're fucking... That singing scene is just fucking
right, that's
so
good. Don't get away, though. That's the part I was like, what is
so
happening
good.
Right now?
So good.
Yeah. It's a fucking musical. I don't know why. It's a musical. It doesn't take itself
seriously.
Watch
that movie, like, I plan on, like, watching it, like, maybe, like, playing some Magic or whatever on Duels or my mobile games while watching it. Next thing you know, I literally watch the entire thing front to back, you know, without any interruptions or anything else, because I'm usually playing a game or something else while watching a movie. And I just thought the movie was so fucking fun to watch. I was excited the whole time.
All right, final movie review. John Wick. I saw that. John Wick was...
The first one.
So it seemed like it was pretty hyped up, like it was one of those movies that came out... Under the radar, nobody gave a shit. Keanu Reeves, new action movie, blah, 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 who cares? But then it came out, and it got all these great reviews. And people were like, oh my god, I love this movie. It's super, super fun. And so I watched it, and I didn't have the same feeling. It was fun. It was really enjoyable. The action scenes were really good. It had, like, a good sense of style to it. But overall, it was not the 9 out of 10 that I believed it to be. I got overhyped. I really wanted to see it once people started talking about it. So I'd give that, like, a good... 7 to 8 out of 10. Arrival, I'd give a 9.5 out of 10. Chappie, I'd give like a 6. Sausage Party, I'd give like a 6.
4.
What else did I say? Ex Machina, I'd give that like a probably like a 9. That's really good. 8.5, 9, something like that. These are the important reviews.
One,
like nobody.
I think John Wick
County,
is better
San Diego.
If you compare it to like the other style movies that are like John Wick, I think John Wick does a better job in a lot of categories than some of the movies like
Jason
Bourne.
I do agree.
Like the original Jason Bourne movies was great, but like all like the Spawn versions, not like the newest Jason Bourne, it's not very good. It's kind of garbage, and like and that's that same kind of style of like that newer action movie where it has like more storyline to it and this and that. I thought John Wick was pretty good. I thought he did a good job of like the different assassins in there and like the storyline and like, you know, the whole assassins bar and all kind of shit. The storyline was pretty.
I think it's pretty empty, but it was an interesting. The thing you're talking about, the kind of like a. The Assassin's Club, or like, you know, everyone's part of this weird thing.
I enjoyed like that respect level they were supposed to have there.
Never seen so many fucking headshots in a movie in my whole life. Like, every bolt that was fired was in a fucking bad guy's head, perfectly centered.
John Wick's a badass.
Pistol shot, like it was. When the first scene happened, I'm like, this is absurd. There's like 30 people dead in like a minute, all from headshots, all from him just like blind firing. A lot of people
died in that movie.
Yeah, a lot of fucking people died. Everyone died in that movie. They probably like got the same actors that died 20 minutes ago, and it's like, we just don't have enough money to like buy all these
people. Your head was destroyed in that actors. Shot anyway, so you know, it's just a bloody head.
You had a mask on this one, just please be the next guy. I can't hire 300 people for this one day.
Just die again, please.
Just die again, please.
So, sounds like he's the opposite of a stormtrooper. Speaking of stormtroopers, we have one last movie to talk about. Since the grace period has happened, we are going to be, you know, not super thoroughly, but we are going to be giving our thoughts on Star Wars Rogue One. It's time. We do it every time. We don't fucking, we always say, oh, we're going to do this special episode.
That doesn't happen.
It's
going to
be 15 minutes long. It's going to be...
Okay.
Yeah, it's
not it.
Totally fucking the music we were looking for. That is not the music we were looking for. Yeah. If Lance Could Kill reviews Rogue One.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Now my girlfriend's mad at me.
Probably.
Oh, great. Now my fiance's mad at me.
That's even so much worse.
It's even worse now.
She's not going anywhere. It's fine.
But neither can he now.
She was probably like, is that Star Wars?
Yeah.
Like she's having a dream right now.
She had no idea what time we were talking about Salacious B. Crumb. She had no idea.
Salacious B. So let's go ahead and talk about, first, just on a scale of 1 to 10, let's go around the table and say what we give the movie. Crow?
No, let's start with Sauce here.
Sauce, stamp of approval, 9 out of 10.
Crow?
I'm on the same borderline with him, 9 out of 10 on that one.
And then I'm just the odd man out, I'm going to say 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10. 7 out of 10. You're wrong, but it's okay, that's why we're here to talk. Take a little walk down Conversation Street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think our views are that differing. It's just I've seen people talk about online how they felt the same way when they watched Rogue One, the same way they felt when they were a little kid and they watched the original and all this stuff. And I mean, I agree, it's a good movie, and it, once again, it was different enough from Force Awakens. You know, because Force Awakens was that, you know, say what you want, that was just a rub and tug for the old school fans. That's all that was.
But it was okay, though.
Also, the story like, was not even a story. Like, it was the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But introducing... You didn't care
enough.
You didn't care.
Very good.
So this was, you know, different enough, you know?
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, hearing what you say, people sound like it was like the same feeling as, you know, seeing the original. I disagree with that. Like, this is definitely a Star Wars universe, but there doesn't have that Jedi, the lightsaber feel to it. There's a different style going on here.
Yeah,
and as far as a Star Wars universe movie goes,
yeah, and I still think it's a great. I would say great movie. I would like to probably see it like one more time in the theater before it goes out of the theater. There was the humor, Star Wars humor in there. Classic.
What is that? TR, is that his name?
No, it's
robot.
KS2O.
Yeah, KS2O. Okay. I think. So like,
I was close.
That's Wash from Firefly.
Yeah,
had a dude. Fucking, I didn't realize that till afterwards when I saw. Like, oh shit, that was him. No wonder he had so many fucking one-liners. My God.
So like, the one thing I like about how they handle the Star Wars humor is it's not like laid on too thick. It's not like just slapstick for no reason. Like in Episode 1, I think, where like one of the alien animals like farts on Jar Jar Binks, and then Jar Jar's like, "Ooh, that's a stinky." It's like nobody's laughing at that.
Nobody
who came to see Star Wars is laughing at that.
The audience that the movie was made for, which is a 9-year-old, might think that's funny.
Exactly. So, hence why the movies are so bad. But anyways, so they maintain the like classic Star Wars humor in a respectable fashion,
except for one joke in the movie, which is the
the Rogue One,
most awkwardly horrible cliche amazing joke ever.
Can I do
it? God, I really want to do it.
Can you do it? Go ahead.
Don't choke on your aspirations.
Oh, it's yeah.
Choking him. It's like Jesus Christ. He turns around like the full view. Like, don't you? Come on. It was so bad and so good, but so horrible.
I mean, a Vader pun, dude. Vader puns are deadly. You don't fuck with the Vader puns, okay?
Woo! I bet you that they wrote that line and they tossed it back and forth for like a month in the writing room, just like, should we do this? Can we do this? Is this too stupid? Is this too much?
Is it so bad we're putting it in?
And it's like, we've been talking about it for a month, guys. We just got to throw it in at the point.
What else is Anakin going to say here?
So, I mean, okay, yeah. Let's talk about Darth Vader. He wasn't in a shitload of the movie, but he was in enough to satiate us and badass in the movie.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I mean, the costume. I had just a little slight issue with the costume. The costume seemed a little pajama-like. I don't know. It seemed like for a movie, it could have been done a little bit better. Listen,
I bet you the one from the first ones would look more pajama-like, but there wasn't the same definition to the recording.
Right.
So, like, I bet you if you saw for somehow, some way, that you'd see the first three movies that came out in the 70s, 80s, that you'd see that same costume appear on this screen in this, you know, new camera setting.
Right.
Then you'd be like, ooh, and this one probably looks better. They probably got what they could and fixed little bits and pieces to make it look better, because once again, high definition changes things.
Yeah, I agreed.
Was it just me? It seemed like his outfit was a little like slimmer, and like they're trying to make it look sleeker than the original ones. Like, not as, because you know, Darth Vader, we know it's a little more boxy, a little more like on the cumbersome side of an outfit. Like, it just seemed like it was a little bit more streamlined, a little more sleeker. That's kind of what threw it off for me.
Yeah,
they're trying to, like, for the newer, like, you know, visuals of making this outfit look, you know, less original and boxy and the more streamlined.
Yeah, not saying it has to look like identical to the original, but yes, I do agree that like they could have made it a little bit more cumbersome and boxy like it had been originally. It did look a little bit sleeker, a little bit like the little chest plate kind of just looked it was sewn on, like not real wires under there or anything. I don't know. Like it's a minor grievance.
We're definitely nitpicking here. Yeah. But I mean, there's just, you know, you get those feels. We're talking about Darth Vader right now, and that's how we kind of felt about
the
movie.
But, like, when you see him, when he's doing his thing, your balls tingle.
Dude, I literally, when that scene goes dark, and it's just, you hear his fucking voice, and all of a sudden his saber just, you know, makes the noise, and it goes from being dark to, you know, fucking the red saber. I literally, not personally, just without, like, control, and made an audible, oh, yeah! Like, in the theater, the chills went down my arm. I was just like, fuck, yeah!
He had a scene in the movie. Fuck,
it was amazing.
He had a scene in the movie that was spectacular. You know, it was a good minute or two long scene that was just really powerful, and it showed that Vader is just an absolute badass, and nobody can face him, you know what I mean? Except for, of course, a Jedi, and even still has to be the Jedi, you know what I mean? It can't even just be a regular Jedi. So It's crazy to see that scene and him just like, I don't care who you are, and nobody's getting in my way between what I want, me and what I want. You know what I mean? I don't agree with the suit thing you guys are talking about, but that's okay. This conversation we're gonna have, most of my opinion is gonna be like, nah, I don't agree.
Yeah.
My opinion's more positive than that, but that's totally fine. I'll be that.
Well, yeah, person. I have nothing bad to say overall about Vader. It's just those nitpicky little tiny things you happen to notice as you're watching it.
That's what I'm saying. Is I didn't see that. You know, even though I saw the movie twice, I didn't think that about it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So in my mind, that little chest piece, there's nothing under there. It's just a damn costume. So like even seeing it, like if it was like machined out of aluminum and it looked like completely modern and perfect or whatever, I'd still be like, that's just a bunch of fucking hogwash. You know what I mean? It's not real. So I don't know. For some reason, seeing that kind of stuff, it doesn't bother me.
See, that's kind of like what I feel like what you miss out on for movies. Like, you overanalyze certain things and aren't able to sit back and enjoy certain stuff.
Well, if that was so true, which it is true, but if it was so true for this one specific thing, then I would totally be like, that's a bunch of bullshit and I'd hate his costume, but I don't.
Well, what you're saying is you don't hold that sense of belief when it comes to the movies. You just go, yeah, of course it's just going to look like that because that's, you know, what would be simple to make for the costume company and whatever. And like, you're not like, oh my God, Darth Vader, how are you going to even fit wires under there? Like, you know, like you're just too practical about it to where you don't, you're not like,
you don't let yourself get immersed in movies. And that's, we talked about this before.
You guys don't fucking know me. I'm leaving.
Yeah, no, your description of movies and how you get, you know, there's a reason like you nitpick, even watch on TV shows like, oh, that Glock, well, you doesn't have to fucking clock that, you know, doesn't have to Glock it back or whatever. Like, you have like little things that you go,
it's
about.
It's an internal hammer. It's bullshit.
I know. And that's fine. It's just like, there's a level of being in how you watch movies that is kind of unfortunate for you.
Here's the thing. So I agree that I do that. Well, here's what I don't do. I don't look ahead of the plot.
That's good.
I don't,
if you did that,
ahead,
yeah,
so
that's just,
not,
you can't,
there are some things
that
are foreshadowed that you're like, hmm. But like, not this movie, I'm saying movies in general.
Yeah.
That, but overall, I don't ask too many questions of why, because I know it's going to happen eventually. So
yes.
I don't try to do that. So that's one thing I purposely do, and I don't think about that. But yeah, I do. Here's one thing that gets me, and I think I mentioned it maybe on to you guys personally, where the camera is at. So when when you see certain scenes, of course, like if the room is empty and there's a guy holding a gun or whatever in some random movie, and then they have the camera right at his face within like 3 feet. So obviously it's the guy, the cameraman is now in the room. It's like a totally different scene. They had to shoot him completely different, him stay still in exactly the same place, shoot the same scene or whatever. Like things like that, that I look for that, the camera stuff more than I look for most things. I don't know, something about like if things are like practical or real or... and a lot of, mostly in TV shows, I'm like, ah, but that camera couldn't be there if blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? It's some weird things. When I'm saying when a movie should take a really practical approach or something about it, it's supposed to be really believable, there's certain things that like they can't do. It's very rare, but some of the, you know, like Blacklist type shows that I've talked about before, like it, some of those things that they do, you're like, ah, it's just not what I want to, I don't want to see it that way. I want to see it a different
sometimes
way.
Sometimes it's hard for you to suspend your sense of
I'm not immersed
belief.
In certain, when certain things, and like I said, I understand it's a movie, but there's some things like, I can't really explain why, but there's certain things that I see the camera work and I see how it's done and I'm like, oh, that's a little irritating to me.
It's okay.
So I do more of that than the plot for sure.
I think just like, lore-wise and story-wise, I think it was good. I think, you know, the whole dude making the Death Star with the dad.
Oh, okay.
Making it because he knew they'd just find somebody else. So he was for...
Super smart way of doing it.
The rebels.
Hmm.
And then making it with a flaw... in it, you know, that was just a smart plot.
It's you know, there's always been people like, I remember from a young age of seeing Star Wars of like going like, well, they made this whole fucking Death Star and you're telling me like they missed this one fucking hole that could just destroy the whole fucking thing. Like I remember like having like disbelief and going like, this is fucking, like this part is stupid. Like why is this one little fucking hole could destroy the entire station?
So they had to make this movie though, because that conversation has gone on for 30 something years.
Yeah.
So like, they had to finally put a nail in the coffin. It's like, listen, all your theories can be put aside. Now this is how it happened. Like,
that's good. Yeah,
movie,
I like that I did
boom.
That.
Yeah, it's perfect because it's true.
Gave me an answer for my 8-year-old.
This is a huge
wondering of what the fuck
fucking hole in the plot right now. How did this happen? Ah, here it is. 35 years later, or whatever it is, 38 years later. Now it's done. We know what the answer is. Fantastic. And it was done. You said it's excellent.
Yeah,
excellent plot.
I think all the casting was good. That's always. You know, all the episode 1, 2, and 3, there's just so many of these flaws, that we talk about.
It's hard to even talk about those movies.
Yeah,
it's
don't even include them. I just think in the original trilogy and this from Disney on out, you know, like, I feel like they do that good job of doing kind of like mostly unknown actors, who can actually act and have different emotions and stuff like that. I think they do a really good job of that.
Is that a big fuck you, Hayden Christensen?
That is a big fuck you, Hayden Christensen.
Yeah, idiot.
And whoever fucking directed those god-awful movies.
Hey, you know what really grinds my gears?
What?
It really grinds
Michael Bay?
Really, yeah, that. Really grinds my gears. Here's the thing. In Rogue One, there's a part where a character had a sniper rifle.
Okay.
And he's trying to take a shot at, you know, his target, execute his target,
right.
Get the hell out of there. And so many movies, hundreds of movies do the same thing, where they're lined up to take the shot, and then they just take, the movie just takes too much time with it. And when you, the more time it takes when someone's lined up in the scope, you're like, you know, if this was like real life, that, you already would have taken the shot. There isn't, you don't line up a shot, wait 20 seconds, and then take the shot. Once you line it up and you feel like everything's good, you've already made your decision. You're already lining up on his head. You know what's going to happen. You line up, okay, take the shot, like within 5 seconds. It's just one of those things where, like, it's in your scope. It's done. The deal is done. But then the movie's like, oh, now we're going to make sure. But wait, you're not going to kill the person because plot, you know, or whatever. They always do it a weird way where, like, it's not, I want it to be snappier. I want it to be where the shot is lined up and then, like, right away something gets in the way. It's not just like he's sitting there watching through the scope. It's like, dude, nobody's going to do that. They're going to, once the person is available and open and the shot is, you know, you have the target, it's a done deal. And so there's a lot, it doesn't have to be this movie, it's a lot of movies that do the same thing where it's, you're like, this is not believable, man. Like, come on, there's not just going to be this one thing that's going to stop you. You're just going to do it.
Yeah.
And so in this movie, you know, he was overcome with something where he's kind of like, he sighed and was like, ah, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to like wait longer or something like that. I feel like that sigh should have just been done like 10 seconds earlier in the movie to make it just that much more believable. Like right when he gets the shot, you know, rather than just fucking waiting and waiting. And
and it
makes movies less believable. Grinds my gears.
It definitely makes them less believable to someone who's willing to think about it realistically like that, but I think it's also a something they use in movies to drive the emotion.
Totally.
And the, you know, if you just do it real quick, no. And it's like
the feeling of dread, like it's about to die, that's one person to die.
It's that
moment hit you as deeply.
It's that moment where you hold your breath. They want you to go, is he gonna?
There's got to be someone out there listening though. That's got to know. They got to know the feeling I'm feeling. Someone out there listens, like I know the.
No,
feeling
we get what you're saying.
No, you don't. We not disagree. You don't know specifically what
I'm feeling. Suspend your disbelief, goddamn.
Don't not
immerse yourself in the issue.
Not everything I say in every single category. You guys have to be like, no, I get it. No, you don't have to get every fucking thing I say. Okay, guys.
Well,
like
we're smart individuals. We can see both sides of an argument.
We're all kind of not so smart here. Okay, we're average. We're average here,
I'm
guys.
I'm saying I understand, and you're wrong.
That's better.
You know what? The thing that made me most happy with the movie, spoiler alert, is that at the end, everybody dies. I thought that was so key to the intertwining of Rogue One to meet up with the beginning of A New Hope. It's like it gave A New Hope new meaning. Like when you watch it now, there's this so much heaviness behind just that little 10-minute intro scene. Dude, in A New Hope.
Knowing that I would not say most of the movie, but say like knowing that a third of this movie happened the same day that, or the same like 5 hours probably, that A New Hope happened, like that blows my mind that, you know, I didn't realize it. Of course, you don't realize it until the very end. You're going through the movie, you're seeing this whole sequence happen at the end, the ending of the story of Rogue One, and then it just begins with A New Hope, and you're like, that's like the same half hour that ending, and that's what you're saying, right? It gives it like new life. It just blows your mind that you can now watch A New Hope and go, but you know what was happening for like fucking 8 hours beforehand?
Yeah.
Like all this craziness to lead up this one, like that's so gnarly to think.
It's
clever, man.
It gives like new meaning almost to the rebellion, you know, like so many people died and
to get these plans out.
Yeah, they fucking just went that extra mile and did this extra thing just so fucking Leia could have the fucking plans in hand in the beginning of A New Hope. It just, Yeah, it just so much more weight behind it now.
No, that was a great job for a storyline of, you know, getting us to a new hope.
It did a fantastic job.
It was the most important part of the movie.
Yeah.
And it did, so it told the story two things. It told why the flaw in the Death Star, and it told how they got the plan. So it's like the two things of the story. And all the characters are great, but they don't matter, like you said, because this movie didn't do what The Force Awakens did. The Force Awakens was, if you want to get in two categories as far as like story and like characters in Force Awakens, 10 out of 10. Story, probably a 5 out of 10. Characters in this new one, Rogue One, probably like a 7 out of 10, 6 out of 10 or something like that. On purpose, because they're not going to give a bunch of crazy backstory and make you have these feelings for people that are just going to die. Like, there's no reason to waste time. They give you just enough. They make you, you know, feel positive and, you know, feel hopeful for everybody. But they don't have to waste time like they did with Rey and Poe and fucking Finn and everybody. You know, you love those characters after watching The Force Awakens. You, like, love those guys. You think they're just great. You're so happy to see them on camera. Everything just makes you smile. This movie didn't make you smile except for the excitement of it. But it didn't make you smile seeing the characters on screen. I didn't, like, see any main character and was like, oh, I just want to see what they do next. Like, you know, I didn't feel that at all.
It was nittier and grittier on the darker side of the characters. Like, it wasn't built to make you like him. It was built to just tell a story.
The plot unfold. I didn't want to see what the characters were doing necessarily. Oh, I really like that.
I think they connected you just enough with the characters to where you invested in them, but you didn't, like, have such an emotional attachment to them.
It was perfect.
They were good enough for you to root for, but not really, like, remember almost, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you remember the characters, but you're not like, oh, what the fuck is that?
I don't
even
remember their names, hardly. So, but I definitely remember the names in Force Awakens. You have to, you know, that's the new story. They're going to be in all three, I'm sure, you know, so.
I mean, like, honestly, for me, like, Cassian Andor is, like, the main, like, he's the dude flying the ship, the one who had the sniper rifle with Jyn Erso in his sights and shit.
You know he's Mexican?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Good for him. Mexican actors. Woohoo.
Yeah.
That's where the thick accent.
Take that, Donald Trump.
That was actually a big thing. A lot of people were like very excited. They were like, hey, somebody else.
Can't
get
this accent to him that's Mexican. Yeah, it was a big storyline behind that.
Yeah, it was cool.
That was fucking great.
Like, for me, like, watching.
I'm horrible with accents. I thought he was like Italian or something.
I thought he was French.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, that's French. That's the one. See, I don't even know where things are.
Goddamn frogs. Some kind of Spanish. I don't fucking know.
I'm so white.
Like, for me, watching the movie, like, I didn't like him the whole fucking time. Like, and I understood he's, like, you know, ended up being on the right side of it. You know, not that I didn't like the character. They did a good job with it. But, like, I didn't personally, like,
well, you're
not, you
know, you're not supposed to like
exactly.
Him.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Some people, like, end up liking him because he's with the Resistance, blah, blah, blah. Like, for me, I'm like, the whole movie, this guy's a fucking asshole. And that's how I saw him. So, I was like, yeah, good, he's dead. Like, I didn't give a shit, but, you know, that's okay because that's how the movie was built. I feel like most people were most upset when K2SO died. Like, that was the most upsetting part.
He was the biggest hero of the whole fucking
thing. Yeah. So, like, when he died, like, everyone was like, no, not the robot, bring him back.
But he dies heroically. He's like, just climb.
And he has the gun, finally. And his gun runs out, and he's like, throws the motherfucker.
He finally got the gun, and now he's dead.
He
needed it the whole time.
He was one of the best parts of the movie, too.
Yeah, like, he was really good.
He was really, really good.
And I guess the last thing we can touch on, so we don't drag it out too far, is the CGI. So with General...
Grand Moff Tarkin?
Yeah, Admiral. Isn't it Admiral?
Grand Moff Tarkin.
Whatever. That dude, Tarkin.
Admiral Tarkin, yeah. Admiral Tarkin, is that right?
Admiral, yeah.
I believe so.
Yeah. So he...
Yeah, he's a General Krennic, Admiral Tarkin.
The CGI, he died long ago, like in the 80s or 90s or something.
I think it was the 90s, yeah.
Well, he was old as fuck when the original movie was shot.
Yeah, exactly. But they fucking nailed it so good to where, like, if you didn't know...
Like your brother, right?
Like, no, me and my brother, like, knew that he was old as shit when the original Star Wars happened, and that, you know, he literally can't live that long, and he has to be dead. And so we knew it was fake, and then you, like, once you know, you can tell, you know, but, like, if you're just, like you said, immersed in a movie and you're not familiar, it might just fucking pass you by that's fucking CGI.
Yeah, I love the CGI.
That's how well it happened.
I loved all the CGI in the movie. I thought it was just great, and I think that they did it just the right amount, you know, as far as not bringing back unnecessary characters just to do it, you know, and spend their damn money and make it flashy.
No unnecessary fucking aliens or anything.
Yeah, if fucking James Cameron was directing this shit, I'm sure they would be a lot more garbage throwing there just for spectacle.
Michael Bay, the fuckers.
You know, Michael Bay didn't have the technology to fucking make faces.
He'd just blow them up.
He didn't know shit. Yeah, exactly. Everyone would be dead. Little fucking claymation.
Your plan is blown up by Death Star. So does yours. And everybody else's plan is blown up by Death Star.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I thought that the CGI was... 10
planets beforehand.
CGI was fantastic.
So I think the only CGI that was... I mean, it was good, but it was far more noticeable than Tarkin was Princess Leia.
Yeah.
It's hard to do CGI, and it was very, very close, but you could definitely notice.
I feel like it was like probably easier for them to do, like, you know, Tarkin's like always more in a darker setting. He's like he has that grayish look, that older skin, that like that darker looking feel to them. Putting that light. And so when you try to like show Leia, who's you know this beam of hope, this beam of light, and put her in CGI into her, it just kind of came off with a glistening, like a gleam to it, like more of a shine.
Well,
and it didn't come across
a little soap opera-y or something like.
Well,
that.
It's just because like you said, Tarkin is all wrinkly, and you can give him texture, and you can kind of hide the CGI in his features. And with her, she's just like this
baby
very,
smooth,
pale white, you know,
super
so it's like
sexy.
Just
want to
stick
rip
my
that
fingers in
goddamn...
her mouth and fucking sniff them.
I do.
Like God. I want to do it today.
I never knew how attractive she was until I'm like 22 years old, and then from that point on, I'm like, she's just so hot,
dude. Once you see pictures of her in the golden bikini, like not from the movie,
but she's in the water, and bikini's popping, and you can see the underboob. It's like Jesus.
I even showed my girlfriend. I'm like, this is what's up. This is what's up right here. And she like didn't understand. I'm like, I don't care if you.
Mark
don't
doesn't get it all. She's like, she's kind of pretty, I guess. I'm like, you don't know nothing.
So anyways, I give it like a 7.5 out of 10. I think it was a great movie. It's just, it doesn't hit that 9 for me.
So I'm going to give it something real bold. Real bold here. Yep. You guys can hate me for the rest of my life. That's fine. I'm going to say,
already done.
I think, in a vacuum, this is the best Star Wars story, movie, sort of thing. Like, I think in a vacuum... This is my favorite thing. I didn't get to experience it as a kid in the 70s, 80s, so I didn't have that same feel. I can't have that feeling. It's not the same organic feeling. But I think that being in a theater, seeing this movie, was my best Star Wars experience of all of them.
That's fair.
So, I don't want to say it's the best Star Wars movie, because that's kind of hard to say without...
You have said
just
that,
the
though.
Lore, and it's kind of empty, though, because it doesn't have the lore and the character development and all the fun things that why Star Wars is such a big franchise. Star Wars is not a big franchise because it's the best movies of all time. It's because of the world they created, the characters they created, and all that stuff is what makes it a really, really good thing. It's not because the writing of the plot was so finite, there was no mistakes, and it had so many twists and turns that everyone was just like so amazed by the story. That's not the point of it. So I'm thinking that in a traditional movie sense, if this was not Star Wars and it was just a movie, this would be the best of all of them if they were all classified individually without that asterisk of... No. But this is the movie's not based on how good the movie is. The movie is based on how good the franchise is and the world they develop. So.
Right, and I totally agree that in a vacuum, if you just look at the directing, if you just look at the acting, if you just look at the soundtrack, like all those things are fucking out of this world, out of this galaxy. But like the way I'm rating it is.
You gotta consider all those things. Yeah,
I'm considering just within the Star Wars movies themselves. Yeah. No other movies included in my ratings. Just within comparison to the other movies. And guess what? Rogue One has to keep in competition with nostalgia and old timiness.
So what was Force Awakens for you? Out of 10.
Force Awakens was probably about the same.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, the it goes like the old trilogy, so from worst to best, 2, 1, 3, because I think 2 is the worst. and then after that, it's like The Force Awakens, Rogue One, fucking...
Return of the Jedi?
3, 1, 2.
So Return of the Jedi.
I mean, not 3, 1, 2, but in the original. You know
yeah,
what
yeah
I mean?
But you want, like, your top 6, movie 4, 5. Is Empire, right?
Empire.
And then A New Hope, then Jedi.
Yeah.
Then
Rogue One.
Then Rogue One, then Force?
Yeah.
then Force, and then the other three, which is listed as the third one's the best one, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the first one was the second, and then the second one was the fucking worst movie ever. Like the second one, him being a whiny bitch is just too hard to watch.
That is literally the worst movie ever. Not even Star Wars. That is the worst movie ever. Yeah. My anger for that movie never go away.
Like, I watched Legally Blonde yesterday.
I've tried working steps on this. I can't get rid of it. It's just fucking burnt in my soul forever. Yeah. I carry it around with me on a daily basis.
You know, I was looking at like a bunch of, they had like the list of sci-fi movies on that Cody thing. And so you just start getting deeper in the pages of like what's popular, and I keep going. Oh, is there any movie that's going to be on this list that I just forgot about? You know, maybe I go like 10 pages deep and see. And then you get into all the weird shit. And one of them was like Shocktopus or Sharktopus versus Whale Wolf. And it was the front half was a shark. And then instead of like the back fin, it was like 8 tentacles. That was that enemy or whatever monster. And then the other monster was basically like a wolf, but it had like a shark's or a whale's nose and like a fin. And the tail was kind of like fin-ish, but it was more like a land animal. It was as bad as you think, like Sharknado kind of shit.
Ugh.
But it's even worse because they made up these creatures, not even just sharks in a tornado. Like they made up fucking bullshit creatures. I watched the trailer just because I had to see what actors are in it, what kind of CGI it is, and like whatever. Like, I mean, obviously I'm not gonna know the names. Obviously, yeah. I want to see like
Seth Green or something.
Good looking women, yeah. Out of fucking work, Mark Ruffalo before he made it back. I don't know. I have no idea. So it was
like the movie like really Piranha. Bad. Like Richard. Piranha. I think it was like Richard Dreyfuss. I think is who was in it. And so Richard Dreyfuss, like he's like the main. He's the name. He's the name.
Oh,
on
I
the
love
poster.
This by the way.
And it's like okay, Richard Dreyfuss is this new movie Piranha, which looks horrible, but it's Richard Dreyfuss. I mean, like I don't know about you guys, but I enjoy his works. Like I think he's
takes
a good
on
actor.
A plane. That's Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah. And so Richard Dreyfuss, blah, blah, blah. He literally is in the movie for the first minute in the opening credits as a fucking old bastard fishing on a pond, and then piranhas come to his boat, and he's eaten by piranhas in the first fucking minute, and then it goes piranhas 3D, and that's the end of Richard Dreyfuss in the movie. Hey, but he's got the full name
he's
poster.
He's actually dead now. That's the end of Richard Dreyfuss.
The movie, and then the movie happens.
The movie's just a big troll. It's a troll of a movie.
I was like, I thought it was goddamn funny. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
You gotta give a props for that.
Literally no other actors in the movie besides Richard Dreyfuss, and he's the poster title. It was great. He died in the first minute. It was amazing.
It's pretty
horrible.
You show
movie.
Up to the set for one day, we'll give you $50,000. He's like, what movie is this? He's like, doesn't matter. $50,000, 30 minutes of your time.
Your name
tops.
Will be used to sell this movie.
You got a sweet ass, you know, craft service table. Like, please help yourself.
You'll be done.
$50,000. Get the hell out of here.
You'll be done fucking recording your scene before you get hungry. You can just go home before lunch. Yeah.
So right funny. On. Well, let's move on to some magic, finally. What do we have? So
how
much,
far are we in?
So much, dude. I'm like
140.
About a one and a quarter ways in.
Ooh, just, baby.
Woo, nice and slow. That is the tempo. And so, let's talk about some magic. A lot has happened since we last recorded. Aether Revolt came out. Some cards have done some things and some tournaments. The Pro Tour is going to be starting tomorrow evening, I believe. Since
something
it's
like that.
Dublin time, it's going to be showing here in the
it's in Dublin? So yeah. By the time this comes out, Pro Tour will probably be over, right?
Yeah.
So we have any... Well, I guess we can talk about decks and we can talk about what we think is going to win.
Ivan Flock winning the Pro Tour.
Ivan Flock?
I hope he does.
We're calling it Ivan Flock winning the Pro Tour.
Come
once
on.
Again, Nyx Fleece Ram, fucking all-star.
Ooh.
All day, gaining one life on each upkeep.
Just with wings.
Yep. Wingmate Rock's making a comeback. I know it.
Just get that ram with wings. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about.
Goblin Guide coming at you fast
get
and hard.
Tattooed on my back.
Mm.
So, okay. So one thing we can talk about, which I don't think we've done too much research on, is they've said you need to have like teams. Like, but you know before, not need to, but you can register teams.
It is a new thing. I've heard to look this up, but yeah.
So before, you know, it was like Channel Fireball, and then there'd be like 50 players in the house, and then they'd all just brew together on the same fucking two decks, and then it would be like no... Basically, like the teams before didn't mean shit. Because, you know, one Pro Tour, somebody would be on the TCG team, and the next Pro Tour, they'd be on the other team, and it's not like they were like really like... signing contracts or anything. It's just like, no, I just feel like playing with these guys.
I'm wearing their t-shirt. That's the end of it.
Play test with these guys. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. So now Wizards is trying to incentivize a little bit more of team play, and they are rewarding. So there's six players to a team, I believe. And then the combined rankings, whoever has whichever team has the highest ranking gets paid a certain amount. So they're actually incentivizing teams to be their own little cohesive unit. Who knows if that's actually going to stop the big teams from still playtesting in the same house or multiple teams, you know, like now there's going to be like Channel Fireball East, West, South, Penguins, Penis, whatever, you know.
Dickbergs.
Yeah, Channel Fireball, Dickbergs. That's, I'm going to root for them. I want a t-shirt of that.
I want to join that team.
But so, you know, a lot of teams have gotten into it. They've made their own logos and their own t-shirts, and it feels like how Magic is kind of how it's supposed to have been, you know, where there's actually teams and you can kind of like root for somebody and you got colors you can sport, and it's moving like into esports territory.
I was going to say that this is my kind of point. I feel like this is like their first initial attempt to push their way towards that Magic Next, you know, the whole facade of what's happening next in Magic and the new CEO of Magic and all that jazz, of where they're going with. Is this their first attempt to like get people like to be behind teams and rooting for teams so they can hopefully move forward into having some kind of team championships that they can try to advertise and push forward into esports kind of a movement? That's kind of how I feel like that's what they're trying to do. I mean, maybe that's the case, maybe that's not, but that's what I see with them making these teams deal.
What do you got to say, Hot Sauce?
What? I don't have much of an opinion on it, to be honest. I don't know. I just have to see how it plays out, I guess. The team, I mean, I want to be on a team. If Lance could kill team. Team MTG cast. Team Magic and Hash. Have them be on our team.
Get in my house. Hold on, let me edit that so it sounds funnier. add 30 seconds of music in the front and the back. So that way the podcast, it seems like it's longer.
Where's the spring, right?
Boing!
Oh, man. Yeah. No, I don't have much opinion about that. I don't know how it's going to like favor. I guess just that that's kind of cool that they're getting paid out specifically, not just like for the players. It's just going to be like for a team. I think it's kind of cool. But
well, just like how my only point being is just how like on ESPN they're doing the esports now, and there's those teams, and, you know, whatever Japanese team there is or whatever team there is for whatever games are playing, and it's a team of like six and they're all playing together and trying to like do whatever. So it feels like that's what they're trying to do, a step in the world of esports.
It's good stuff.
Could be wrong. Who knows?
I think so. I think you're right on them. Yeah, I think that if it does take off and Magic does what they want and gets a lot more publicity and gets a lot more attention, then you would be rooting for a team maybe rather than a player, so that you get more chances for them to succeed, you know? So you're not just seeing one player and then, hey, it goes out. You still have more people to root for through the weekend rather than that one person having a bad day and then you're just left not rooting for anybody. So it might be more something like that, but you can have the whole weekend to cheer someone on. I think that could be a good like selling point for like an esport, you know.
Yeah, I just see them making like a specific team tournaments that they, you know, advertise on Twitch to try to get people to watch.
Well, then,
you
know, I'm looking
this group against this group against this group, and this is for the champions moving forward.
I'm having to look right here because we don't read stuff beforehand. And it looks like there's going to be, like, seasons and stuff. So, like, once you sign up with a team for a season, then, you know, that's X amount of events or pro tour, like the first pro tour of the season, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, it looks like they're trying to kind of incorporate it more into the esports category and actually making it like you can root for root for, you know, teams, like you're rooting for other when you're watching other esports. That's just an exciting little bit of news that we have, and it probably came out a while ago and we weren't paying attention, so there.
Pro Tour, so it seems like in Standard right now there are two prominent decks, which would be green, black, either Delirium / aggro. It's going to be, you know, The Grimflare and a lot of Fatal Push, Grasp of Darkness. Not so much, what is it, Ishkana? Is that his name? Is that the name of the
Ishkana?
Spider?
Yeah.
Yeah, not a lot of that anymore. It's more the Gear Hulk, the Verdurous Gear Hulk, I think it is, or something like that.
Verdurous.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Verdurous.
Verdurous. The one that gets all the counters and everything. So it was kind of like that more counters approach, more aggro style version of Delirium, not necessarily just the, you know, Emrakul plan. So that has become like Value City, kind of like Jund style, where every creature doesn't have, there's not like a ton of synergy. There's like some pretty powerful things, but overall it's just that everything holds a lot of value and you're able to just, everything's a threat, things have trample, things are big, things allow you to make more mana, you know, things produce whatever, you know. There's like that one Dark Confidant knockoff that came out, and that's a four of in one of those lists as well, where you make some energy and then on your upkeep you can pay two energy and draw a card, lose a life. So that's another way for a 2/1 with menace to, you know, get in some few points of damage, draw some cards for really, really, really good value on that. And then the other deck is the Shaheely Jeskai
cat combo.
Copycat combo. So I'm sure you guys have seen it.
Multiple versions of that.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys have seen it. You guys have probably seen the same kind of shells, you know, the Anticipates and, of course, the main two creatures. And then a lot of them have the Torrential Gear Hulk, the Blue Gear Hulk, to get, you know, Glimmer of Genius going and some other stuff like that. So
it's weird that because
Jeskai control, basically, you know.
Because of the Felidar cat, they can, you know, bounce over a permanent. It's weird that the Chandra Oath is seeing play now.
Like that's doing just, a lot of work.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's just, it's funny though. It's just that card of all things is what's seeing play.
I was looking through like all of Magic cards and there's not really a lot of stuff, like really at all, that exiles a permanent and brings it right back. Some of them exile it, brings it back at the end step, things like that. But there's not a lot of shit that just like actually exiles any permanent on the battlefield, even lands, and brings it right back on the battlefield. It's
mostly exiling creatures.
Yeah, it's exiling creatures, or like I said, it's going to be like the Flicker Wisp or something like that, where it just flickers it out and then it comes back at the end step. So this is a unique effect, although it's expensive and I'm only a 1/4, but you're able to, you know, net one mana from getting a land and maybe even Aether Hub to get one more energy if you needed it. So that's a good value there. Of course, you can reset your Planeswalkers. You can reset to get more into the battlefield effects from creatures. So the creatures that they've been putting in this deck has had like a lot of synergy with the cat. And it, so it made it where you're not just looking for the combo. All the pieces make sense and they work on their own. And like it seems very powerful. There's not even a lot of games that get... Well, not, I mean, say there's a lot, but there's not as many as you probably think while watching the games getting victory from the combo. It's mostly just value and Torrential Gear Hulk attacks and stuff like that, you know, having their counter war with their disallows and all that kind of shit coming out on top and having one person have an empty hand and one person have a 5/6, you know, and the Wandering Fumeralls and stuff like that. So it's been a traditional control game, which has been cool. Control game with a little extra spice, which is a 2-card combo. But otherwise, it's been Jeskai control is what I've been seeing. A lot of people have been not playing very aggressively. They have been waiting for someone to make the first play, and things will explode on like turn 10 or 11 rather than battling them from turn 3 on, you know. So it's pretty interesting watching it. Just like watching, you know, blue-white control of Standard from 2 years ago or something like that. He who makes the first move, you know, unless they have just the absolute nut hand, has a chance of losing.
Yeah, counter. Fuck.
Yeah, a lot of that.
Didn't expect them to have the second counter. Yeah,
a lot of that. And people are getting set up for, you know, call it, I would say, 8 lands before they start going off. Enough for a Torrential Gear Hulk and a counter, or for a Planeswalker and 2 counters, stuff like that, to actually put up a big fight. So, anyways, that's what we're probably going to see for the most part. Is my, you know, as I think everyone's guess is that's what the Pro Tour is going to mostly be.
A lot of Winding Constrictors, a lot of Walking Ballistas.
Yeah, those are the cards in the black green aggro / Delirium list.
And then I've even heard of in the Saheeli decks. Flashing out with the cat, the Oath of Nissa, just to search for Saheeli, stuff like that, you know, like in the 4-color decks or whatever.
When we talked about, you said Oath of Chandra. Oath of Chandra, when it enters the battlefield, does 3 damage to target creature. So it hits once, and then it sits on the battlefield, does nothing except when a Planeswalker comes in, it does like 2 damage to target to the player, each opponent, or something like that at the end step. But now, like I was saying with the cat, you can flicker a land, flicker a planeswalker, flicker a creature, or you can flicker one of these two enchantments and dig even farther or hit another creature for 3 damage. So it allows you to, if you have the cat in hand and you also have Harness Lightning, well, you'd think you want to kill that creature, just Harness Lightning, right? But instead you're like, oh, wait, I can play the cat, not worry about the combo right now, but I can go ahead and bounce the Oath of Chandra, hit it again. And so you just, you played one creature and actually the second effect of that same creature rather than just burning it out with one card and only doing one effect. So it's pretty cool.
It's a little bit more resilient than people thought it was going to be. There's a lot more interactions that people didn't see. And I think a lot of that is going to be brought out even more so in the Pro Tour.
Yeah.
You know, because once the pros get a hold of it, these are, I mean, no offense to the guys who are winning these things or playing in them, but this is just, you know, SCG Opens or IQs or like...
There's a lot of the pros playing, but you're also seeing a lot more amateurs or ones who aren't in the Pro Tour.
Yeah, exactly. So this is just the next level of competition. Luckily, I had bought some Saheelis on MTGO. Just, I don't know, they were like $1, a ticket and a half or something. So I was like, whatever. You know, I thought like with the Heart of Kirin or whatever vehicle where you, you know, remove a counter to activate it. I was like, oh, maybe that's going to be a thing. And I ended up buying a playset. And then the whole spoiler came out and everything. And so I was able to get out of them for like 8 or 9 tickets each. And I was able to just buy like the rest of my playsets of fetches so I can just continue playing...
Frontier
on Modo and just like whatever mana base I need now is available. Super awesome.
Dude, I happen to pull 4 Shihili Rise in paper. I just need to find somebody who wants to trade for them because I'm never going to play the Shihili Rise deck.
Fucking so sell like, that shit.
Sell them, dude.
Buy list.
I literally might have to because, I mean, fuck.
They're not going
to
last forever. You know what I mean? Even this, even when everyone's done playing this deck, it's not going to keep, it's not going to be Gideon. It's not going to hold value this whole time, I don't feel like, so...
Well, I mean, there's you know, modern shenanigans that could happen with it. But, yeah, I mean, the hype train's
modern
going right now.
Modern support is not
going
to keep this price
you're
up
lucky.
For sure, though.
Hopefully she does really well in the Pro Tour and then get out of them then. If not, it's already might be a little too late.
So this last, what is this open from SCG or whatever that happened in Richmond or something like that? Okay, what does it happen on the 28th of this month?
So that was the one
last weekend or whatever.
Right after that came out.
No, just second one after that. So it's the one that just happened this last weekend or whatever. Because it's been out for 2 weeks already, I believe. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Top 3, so first, second, third place, all Shihili decks, all Jeskai. One of them's 4-color, considered the same deck, basically. And then fourth place was also Jeskai Control, but not Shihili. It was like Torrential Gearhulk only, more control, more fumigates, more, you know, digging deep for stuff like that, you know, more removal. And then we had fifth place was Black-Green Delirium. So it had more like Mind Rack Demon than just pure counter value.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had sixth place was Shihili again. And then seventh place was Green-Black Aggro, which is more counters, and that Dark Confidant guy, and then 8th place was Black-Green Delirium. So, like, you're just seeing it that it's, like, it's only those two decks. You know, I know that the Black-Green ones, there's two different variants, but they're in the same family, I consider them. They're still going to be playing a lot of the same spells. I think one of them's faster, one of them's more top-heavy and flyer-heavy. Like, Mind Rack Demon is pretty good right now.
I feel like it doesn't matter what you do to Black-Green right now. Like, there's just so many variants on how to play that color combination that taking out a fucking spaghetti monster like didn't even slow it down in the least. Like Black-Green has been dominating for a while now.
So even in top 16, it's just the same stuff.
Yeah.
But there is one, 13th place, Black-Red Zombies.
Yes.
13th
yes.
place. So it's like graveyard recursion. In standard, there's really no graveyard hate. So you're able to just throw shit in the graveyard and then bring it back. So you can, like, Cathartic Reunion is a good card in standard right now because there's nothing to fight it except for, like, negates and stuff like that. That'll really ruin your fucking day. It's going to shit in your Cheerios for sure if you fucking discard 2 cards and this, and then they fucking counter it, and you're like, oh, about that. Like, that fucking sucked. So, anyways.
But your shit still goes to the graveyard, you're going to get back anyway. So, like, yeah, it's shitty, but you still get the value of throwing your shit in the graveyard.
You still want to draw 3 cards.
Yeah, of course.
So, Scrap Heap Scrounger, Crypt Breaker, Haunted Dead, Prized Amalgam, all 4 ofs. Then we have one Distended Mind Mender, which is that like big Eldrazi that thought seizes type shit. And then three Insolent Neonate, which is the one drop menace. Same thing that they played in Dredge. And then Voldaren Pariah, which is that vampire flyer. Yeah. You sack three dudes, turns into a 6/5 flyer, and then they have to sack three dudes as well. So
I'm surprised that list is still doing that well. I mean, there's little additions and minuses to that list.
Yeah, the biggest addition, I think the only thing I see really here is that it has four fatal pushes.
And the neonates.
But those are, well, this is all, the neonates are old. Those are from Shadows of Innistrad.
Yeah.
So, or of Innistrad. So, mm-hmm.
Well.
Anyways, so Fatal Push is the only new card in this thing, except for there's two Release the Gremlins as the Artifact Destruction in the sideboard, but otherwise it's Key to the City, Fiery Temper, standard discard stuff, you know what I mean? Creatures with Recursion, just value town, basically. Until there's Graveyard Hate, this deck can totally work and be competitive.
I mean, Fatal Push is really good for the zombie deck in general because shit's going in and out of the graveyard.
Yeah, it's you're going to be able to hit four mana permanents all day with this deck. No question.
Easily. And that's where that deck operates the best is in the early game. If you can get under him early, then, you know, if you can get in the driver's seat first before they do, then that's where you really start winning with that deck.
So the only other deck I see that seems competitive is White Red Humans. So they always have white weenie decks, but this one has a few new cards from the new set, which is Metallic Mimic. You just name, it's the one that you just, it's like the Lord, you can just name whatever creature type you want, and it itself is one of those as a two mana 2/1.
Right.
And then whenever a creature comes out after it, it gets a 1/1 counter, if as long as it's one of those creature types. So you name humans, any human that comes out after it is now one bigger, +1/+1. And it's got just a bunch of aids, tons of aids. It's got just a bunch of value crap, Thalia's Lieutenant, and Inventor's Apprentice, that, you know, that Curd Ape dude, and all that shit like that. And then we have that Carrie Zev, the one that makes the monkey.
Okay, yeah.
So it has that 2/2, and 3 Thalia Heretic. Dude,
that monkey's name is amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Ragavan.
So that's pretty much it. It's just a bunch of really low to the ground, 1/2 mana, maybe a little bit of 3 mana stuff, but you're basically just trying to get things done like a Tarka Red or something. You're trying to get things done very quickly. Very quickly, you know, want turn 5 kills. It's what you want in this
thing. That Mimic is really changing the game up, and I think it's going to show up big at the Pro Tour. And I wish I had my copies already, because that card's amazing. I want to shove it in every fucking deck.
They're not expensive yet, though.
I thought they're like $10.
No.
I thought they're like $5.
The Mimics are
$3. I think they're like $3. Let me look, though. Anyways, okay.
I'm going to order them now so they can get canceled tomorrow.
Going farther down, there's really nothing else to see here. You know what I mean? It's just more Delirium, more aggro, all black-green, and more Shaheeli is pretty much what I'm seeing when you keep moving on the list. You know, there's a little bit of here and there, but
I personally want to pick up the rest of the playset of Disallow. That counter is fucking just super
good. That is the bomb. It went up in price, too. That was like, I know. I think $6 now.
When Jim Davis is 6 for warning you with a fucking Disallow on a Westville Abbey activation, like, yeah. You just sacked 5 of your creatures to flip over your fucking Westfall Abbey.
Yes.
And huge. You just said disallow on that. So you sacked all your guys already. And now you don't get the fucking, you don't get Omrindal anymore. Like, goddamn, that's value.
Yeah, it is huge. You're totally right. That activated ability thing, triggered ability, whatever it is, like that is, there was a few of them where like, yeah, no problem. I'll allow whatever to hit the table. But I'm going to go ahead and cancel out. It's the effect that the reason you played it for, you know what I mean? And then I'll just kill your creature later or whatever. But, like, there's some things, like a cast trigger, like, okay, I'm going to cast this creature. Yeah, you can counter the creature, but the effect I want to happen, which is going to be, like, tapping down the 4 lands from that blue dude. I don't remember what his name was. Hope. What's that?
Drowner of Hope?
No. The Eldrazi 8-mana dude, when you play it, is it Drowner of Hope? I don't think so. Maybe it is. Anyways, you get to tap down 4 permanents. Maybe it's Drowner of Hope. And the guy's like, all right, well, I'll deal with your 5/5 Eldrazi, but I'm going to go ahead and cancel or, you know, disallow tapping 4 of my permanents so I can leave open counters for the whole reason thing he wanted to tap, you know, Jim Davis or whoever it was out. And he's like, nah, I don't think so. I'd rather just deal with your 5/5. So he did that. And I'm like, smart. I don't know if I would have saw that. You know, I should just cancel out his ability rather than the creature. I would feel maybe, oh, I can't do anything about that. All I can do is cancel out the creature. You know, I might not see that line of play because it's brand new. You know, I mean, it's, yeah, we have like old.
It's brand new, but it's like it's a throwback to the old like good counters that did things like that.
Yeah, I don't remember. There's one that does that. It's like a one blue one. It's like one blue
stifle
and stifle is that what it is. Yeah, activated or triggered ability or whatever. Yeah. So, anyways, that's pretty much it. Though I just think that given a list of what happened, and we'll see if those are the same decks that we're gonna see this weekend. And there's a little bit of like Esper stuff, like a little bit of Tezzeret artifact stuff with like that insult artifact clone and some other shit like that. Maybe even some like touch Colossuses and stuff like that. Maybe a little bit of that.
Show me where we'll Tezzeret touched you. Show me.
I forget where I heard it from. Maybe it was like a Frontier podcast or something. But they were talking about throwing the Touch of Tezzeret on the artifact creature that
creature.
You sack it to silence the person the next turn. But then the Touch of Tezzeret makes you, once the thing dies, it goes back to your hand. So you get to like silence them basically like two turns in a row after you hit them for like five or whatever. Anyways, it was just like shit like that. I was like, yeah, I guess I just undervalued that card, you know?
I think still cheap too, that one mana 1/1 you're talking about that they can't play non-creature spells for their turn. Yeah. That thing's still, I think it's like $1. So if there is going to see any play, which I haven't seen yet, I've seen a little bit of sideboard play with it. I think maybe two of in a sideboard that I've seen once. We'll see.
So speaking of Frontier, I don't know if you guys know this. Every once in a while, we like to brew decks. Just every once in a while. Mostly, we just go to www.top8mtg.com, and then we go...
Never heard of it.
And then we just print, and then we take that to the most expensive store in town, and we go, I don't care how much, here's a blank check. We don't have checks. Here's a blank check, and just give us this deck. And that's usually how we... That's how
that's what Sauce does.
I give him my library card, and I'm like, hey, just fill her up. You know what I mean?
But we've been... just this Frontier bug has just bitten us right in the dick here, and we're just loving it. So we've been brewing up some decks. Hot Sauce especially, after weeks of taunting from Crow about net decking and this and that. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but he got a little his little furrow in his brow, and he decided to brew up some decks. And my God, I'm gonna just tip my hat. I'm not wearing a hat. Tip my hat to you, my good sir. And
why aren't you wearing a hat? Is the problem?
Well, I'm wearing a beanie, so I can't.
Tip it. Hurry, there it is.
I'm more like just anyways. Stretching it. Stretch of the beanie to you, of the toque, my good sir. So why don't you go ahead and take it away with some of your freshly brewed sauce?
Ooh,
the freshly brewed salacious B crumb sauce.
I'm trying to see if I have like some deck lists that are relevant.
I know. I was trying to stretch it out for you.
Thank you. So the basic one I started off in Frontier, I think I mentioned, is like a four color Panharmonicon. Sort of built itself kind of in that net deck sense that Panharmonicon has been done by like not winning any tournaments, but by like MTG Goldfish, Saffron Olive, and stuff, you know, popular stuff like that, where they'll do like a deck tech of like, this is what we think will work, kind of thing. And so Panharmonicon, you think in Frontier, you're like, all right, what is a good end of the battlefield effect? Oh, Siege Rhino, boom, four of Siege Rhino. Reflector Mage, boom, four of Reflector Mage, you know. Even like, okay, we need some ramp. We need like maybe Elvish Mystic or the Servant of the Conduits, that 2-mana 2/2 that we have now that makes energy. Oh, boom, it comes into the battlefield 2 energy. Now it gets 4, now it gets 6. So now we have mana, you know, whatever color mana we want for days. So we have that. And then I added like Wingmate Rock and some other stuff. So that kind of built itself and made a nice, you know, 5 mana is like top of the line, top of the curve, and then Elfish Mystic and Servant of the Conduits, bottom of the curve. And you just filled in with whatever value into the battlefield stuff you can find. Cool, done. Past that, I built a blue-red Colossus deck. So that one, you know, you just get the 4... The 10-10 Colossus, that's 11 mana, but it costs 1 less for basically however much converted mana cost you have of artifacts that are not creatures on the battlefield. You've probably seen decks, same thing. You've seen those on MTG Goldfish or whatever deck-building site that you like to go to. You've seen that, so I built that. But it's really cool because we have Shrapnel Blast, which is, like, insanely powerful. 1 in a red, instant for 5 damage, target creature or player. All you gotta do is sacrifice an artifact, so... If you got a shitty artifact that already like used up its value, done. If it's a finisher and you already attacked with your creature and they're down to 5, kill them, done. So super versatile card, and you're able to play some old school ramp creatures as well, like that one that has gives all artifacts convoke, artifact spells convoke, and it gives one of them, like the weaponsmith dude, renowned weaponsmith, I think. You can tap him, and he adds 2 generic mana for any artifact spell or activated ability of one. So anyways, you get some nice... They kind of build yourself, you know what I mean? So moving past that, I built... I built a black-green counters deck. And it kind of has a similar feel to what's in Standard right now, where... But it once again, it kind of built itself, and you have to play certain cards. That new snake that came out, that Winding Constrictor...
Have to.
It's just like hardened scales on a 2-3 body. And that's fine for one more black mana. That's like a great, great value for a 2-3 on its own, but having hardened scales attached is ridiculous. So you have that as hardened scales 5-8.
Have to.
And then you have that new stupid idiot... God, what the hell is that?
Walking Ballista?
Walking Ballista? Oh my God. Thing is so stupid. Gross. It's just like a Hangerback Walker style. XX to play it, so you pay 2 mana. And it turns into a 1-1. Has a +1/+1 counter on it. Only one. And then you get to, what do you say, machine gun off if you want. You can go ahead and remove a counter at any time, instant speed.
It's gross.
And go ahead and hit target creature or player for 1. And so because you have a counter deck, and you have hardened scales and whatever else, you pay the 2 mana, and instead of being a 1-1, it becomes a 2-2 or a 3-3 or a 4-4, and you're able to even pay 4 mana at any time and put more counters on it, 1 counter per 4 mana. So that deck started building itself. You know, you get I can't think of the names. The 3-2 with Reach and Trample, when it enters the battlefield, with a number of 1-1 counters on it,
equal Avatar to each other,
Avatar's Resolute. So you have that, you have Hangerback, you have Managorger Hydra, you have, you know, Fatal Push now as a really cheap removal spell because everything's supposed to be really cheap, and Grasp of Darkness if you want it. There's all kinds of shit like that. So you have all that, and that kind of built itself as well. Now, getting more experimental here, if you guys are keeping up at home, I put together a list that I've been playing on MTGO for super fucking cheap. Enjoying the shit out of it. Let's just say I really haven't lost a game yet. I haven't played a whole bunch with it, but I have played it for, you know, call it 4 hours now or something like 4 or 5 hours now online. And it's done incredibly well. So it's black, red, it's Impact Tremors, Panharmonicon, and this little creature named Reckless Fireweaver. So break it all down. Reckless Fireweaver is a 1-3 for 2 mana, 1 and a red. And when an artifact enters the battlefield, no matter if it's like a servo creature or just like an artifact, it pings your opponent for 1 damage. Impact Tremors, when a creature enters the battlefield, not artifact or any of that stuff, same thing, pings the opponent for 1 damage. Panharmonicon says, whenever a creature entering the battlefield triggers any permanent on the battlefield
or artifact.
Any creature or artifact enters the battlefield and triggers something else, it does it a second time. So what we're doing here is getting shit like Weaponcraft Enthusiast, okay? This uncommon from Kaladesh. It's an 0-1 for 3 mana, 2 and a black, whoop-de-doo. But it comes out, has Fabricate 2, so you bring out 2 1-1 servos with it that are artifacts and creatures. So you get to trigger Impact Tremors, and you get to trigger your Reckless Fireweaver. So that's 2 damage per servo, so that's 4 damage, and then you get 1 damage off of Impact Tremors from the main guy, the 0-1. That's 5 damage, just base. Panharmonicon doesn't just necessarily double that damage. It adds twice as many creatures as well. So not only does it double the damage, it also doubles the amount of creatures, which means that it goes times 4, basically. Instead of going times 2, it goes times 4. Instead of creating 2 1-1s, 3 creatures total, you create 4 1-1s, 5 creatures total. So that's 5 hits off Impact Tremors, which is 5 damage. Then Panharmonicon says, do it a second time, so that's 10 damage. Then the Relentless, or whatever the hell his name is, what is his name? Reckless Fireweaver says the same thing. Artifact enters the battlefield, you do 1 for each, so there's 4, so that's 4 damage. And then Panharmonicon's like, no, but you gotta do it a second time. Okay, that's 4 more damage, so that's 10 plus 8. That's 18 damage directly to your opponent for 1 three mana uncommon from Kaladesh once you have it set up.
Granted, there's a little setup, but the beauty of this is that you have four sources of this pinging damage. So it's not even like, oh my god, you just hit me for 18. It's like, oh my god, this shitty fucking three mana nothing creature just hit me for 9. And then you do it again next turn and next turn. And before you know it, it's like, well, I'm fucking dead and you didn't even swing at me once. And nothing on your board even has to survive.
Eight 1/1s in the battlefield and some other shit like, you know, Thopter Engineer, where it's a 1/3 that brings out one Thopter with it. So you're basically getting like a 2/4 for 3 mana, no big deal. But it gives your artifacts haste, and if you have Panharmonicon out, it makes 2 Thopters instead of 1, so you're getting 3 triggers off of whatever, you know, enabler you have. And then everything has haste as well. So, like, that's a good one, and that's just an uncommon that costs a penny. So most of these cards don't cost anything online. Like, Impact Tremors cost me basically nothing. Even PNLR cost nothing. Pia and Kieran Nalar cost... they don't cost anything online. So, it's been super easy to make. It only cost, I don't know, Panharmonicons or what right now? $1.20 or something like that? Say it called $1 for per Panharmonicon. Most expensive on MTGO, exactly. That's like the cheapest, or the most expensive card in the deck, and that's cheap, so... And then you have some filler stuff, right? You have, like, a finisher of Marionette Master, which is Fabricate 3, so it makes 3 1/1 servos, which will be now be 6. And then it has its own abilities. Whenever an artifact hits the graveyard, it does damage equal to the Marionette's power. So that's kind of a rare finisher. I only have one in the deck because it's just if we get there, we get there. But yeah, I don't want to have them in my opening hand. Don't even need it. You don't even need it, exactly. I might just take them out if I just don't even see it enough. So you have that as extra value. I mentioned, like, the servo / Thopter generators, PNLR and Thopter Engineer, Weaponcraft, you know, all that stuff. But then we have a spicy little one, which is Lightning Berserker. Lightning Berserker is 1 red mana for 1/1, but it has dash for the same cost. So it's basically like that little, what is his name, like Ronin or whatever his name is? What's Dovin? What the fuck's that guy? That little scaredy cat guy that whenever it attacks or whenever you play a spell... It's some fucking name like that.
Let me pull it out for you. Go ahead.
Yeah, so there's this creature from so many sets
it's
ago.
It's a
that,
legendary
like,
goblin.
Norn the Wary.
Norn, okay. Norn the Wary. So, like, whenever you play in this kind of deck, in the other style, like Impact Tremors or Purphoros deck, anytime you attack or anytime anyone plays a spell, it just, like, bounces it and then returns it at end step. So no matter what, you're getting 1 trigger per turn. Like, no matter what, you can attack with itself. And it bounces itself. So, like, no matter what, it's going to stay there, ping every single turn. And you can't kill it because when you cast a spell, it goes away. So, like, it'll fizzle no matter what. You can't even respond and do, like, some weird stack thing. It's just going to go away. That's just it. So,
and
there's nothing you can do
about it. It's great because on the early turns, it's like you can get in just for a little damage here and there. And while you have nothing else to do. So, it's not, like, inconsequential. And in the later game, like, once you have your shit set up, you don't even need to attack. You're just getting that trigger of the dash and getting it back in 2 from your hand.
Yeah, as long as I have Impact Tremors, I'm able to just make sure I can at least hit my opponent for 1. And if the board is open, or if I feel like it's going to be a worthy trade because I'm able to Fire Breathe it as well, paying more red mana into it to give it +1/+0. So, like, say he has, you know, a 2/3 on the battlefield. I'm like, well... Screw it. I'm playing for the trigger, but also I'm okay to attack with my 1/1 because if he wants to block, I feel like trading my 1 mana 1/1 that already got some value off of it for his 2/3 just sitting on the battlefield. I'm like, fine, I'll get rid of it. I'll have it as a removal spell as well if he wants to trade, you know. So that thing is pings once every single time. And same thing with Panharmonicon. It means Impact Tremors hits you for 2 each time because it wants to do multiple times. Also, as a final thought for this, red-black has the best removal, basically, right? So you have, if you want Fatal Push, do that. Lightning Strike, Shrapnel Blast, because there's a lot of artifacts in your deck, a lot of servos. You can just throw them away for 5 damage. Unlicensed Disintegration, destroy target creature. As long as you control an artifact, it does 3 damage to the opponent, which is everything's about hitting the player. You're not really doing too much to creatures. And everything in here except for PNLR is not legendary, which means... You got multiple Impact Tremors? Great. You got multiple Panharmonicons? Great. You got multiple Reckless Fireweavers? Everything I'm saying right now just gets better and better and better. What I said before, which I would call ideal circumstances, is only one copy of each. So, anyways, that's pretty much the deck. That's the one I'm most excited about playing right now. I'm most proud of that. I have a bunch of blockers, and I get to ping my opponent attrition style without me gaining life, though, over and over again, constantly. It's absurd. It's absurd.
So
you ventured into my realm of attrition based deck. I love doing that.
But you know what's funny? I played attrition before you were even a wink in your daddy's eye. No, not really. But yeah, you did play Impact Tremors before all of us. I believe so.
That's been my deal. I even have a modern deck with that, and it's why you know of Norn the Wary. I play him in that deck, and it's just
true that. So that Norn, fuck, I hate that thing. Thing's annoying, dude. It's a clock.
We played on Magic Online, and he played against me, and I was playing decks that have been tested and proven and have been in and out of the tournament practice room for weeks now, and he was just mopping up the floor with everything I threw at it. The Panharmonic on Elves didn't stand a chance.
That was very surprising.
Yeah, the mill was too slow, and I have explosive fucking turns with the mill deck where it's like half your deck is gone. And I just could not fucking keep up to his constant just ping, 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 ping. And it's not even pings. It's like shock, 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 shock. And so, yeah, this I had to actually give it respect and say, wow, you know, if somebody's not playing, like if you go up against a control deck, you're going to have a bad time. Just control decks have answers to a lot of things, you know, whether it's the enchantments or creatures themselves or artifacts. Like a Jeskai control deck will just ruin your day with it. But, I mean, anything else I'm thinking of, like, it's just... Like, you don't want to waste your removal on such shitty little things, and you're not even attacking. You're trying to attack in. You're just chump blocking for days and days.
Board wipes don't do it either because they already got value.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't matter if my creatures get removed.
Yeah, you're waiting for them to die. You don't give a shit. You're just chumping them away to buy you more time, and it's just... It's a real dick here, and it took me by surprise, and I actually can't wait for you to get more playtesting done online. Just so you can get people angry at you, and hopefully you can post some of the results on Salty Losers.
So I bought the deck in paper. It's in the mail right now. I had a lot of it, but even in paper, every card in this list is less than $1, except for Panharmonicon. P and Kirin Nalar is only $1.90 right now, or something like that. I just had to buy an extra copy of her. And I'm like, oh my God, this thing was like $8 at one point when it blew up in Modern, and now it's under $1. So everything's under $1. Even Unlicensed Disintegration, that one got kind of hot for a little bit for an uncommon from Kaladesh, and that one is now 50 cents. I guess the mana base, I mean, if you probably want to buy like maybe some fetch lands, that'd be like better, and maybe some Smoldering Marshes, which is like the battle land. That'd be a nice combo to make things a little more consistent. But, I mean, I played online with just basics and one Foundry of the Councils, which is you pay 5 mana and sack the land, and then you get to create 2 Thopters. So just for that, you know, late game, I only have one copy. Just if I'm just sitting there doing nothing, maybe I can push some extra damage through or surprise blockers or whatever. I mean, it's always good to have some 1/1 flyers, you know. So I have one copy just sitting there, and of course that land is a penny. So yeah, the deck is overall, if you don't include the fetches, I bet you the whole deck is like $40, somewhere around there, $40-$50, you know, cheap.
Yeah. Anyways, it's a fun deck.
Enough to say about that. It was just it was exciting for us to play it and see what it does. You know what I mean? It's pretty cool. So
yeah, definitely. Shout out to the Hidden Brew Master Daddy of the cast who's been feeding us the list. Not Hot Sauce himself. I forget his full name, but we call him Brewmaster Daddyson the Third. But anyways, yeah, I've been trying to brew up some new decks. You know, I have 3, 4, 5 on MTGO, and I'm finally starting to get them all squared away in paper as well. So we're gonna be updating you with some more of our lists, and hopefully putting them on Tapped Out. And all the links should be in the show notes. He has his on Tapped Out. I'm relatively bad when it comes to actually putting the list up there. But if you want to look for him, the links are in the show notes. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about before we wrap it up?
I mean, I said my stuff. Do you guys have anything in general you guys are working on right now? Or Frontier? The old Frontier?
What
bandwagon?
What deck are you working on there, Crow?
The bug hasn't hit me enough yet for Frontier. Everything's going on at home. I just haven't had a chance to really get into it yet. I have a couple different possible brews going on. And every time I have to start a possible brew, then you guys have already brewed it, because you're just sitting at home right now, too. So, I already had a baseline of wanting to do the attrition deck. I haven't jumped into the Panharmonic and stuff yet, so I was doing more of a fair attrition one that I would usually do. The Panharmonic part of it sounds amazing. I was going to do more long lines of like Rabble Master and Hammer Battlements and aggro attrition more with it and things like that. Right now, I'm also thinking about doing a Collected Company deck. So things are in the mind. It's just a matter of actually starting to put them down and build some decks with it. So I'm a little behind on that ball, though.
Tokens deck's pretty strong. I think that I played against it on Modo. Similar decks to it that have the prowess stuff, Jeskai Ascendancy decks. Jeskai Ascendancy on Modo is a fucking force to be reckoned with. It is one of those, if you have Cryptolith right or you have Mana Dorks, you're able to go like infinite and draw your whole fucking deck and make your dudes infinitely big. I played against one deck where he only had green Mana Dorks, like any of them. Any two mana common, who gives a shit? As long as it tapped and made mana, that's what he was playing. So he was playing like 20 of these fucking things as his only creatures, and then he played Jeskai Ascendancy and just classic, you know, kind of like disturbance and control stuff. And I'm playing this game with him, and I'm like, what is this 2-1, you know, like mana dork doing out here? Like, what is it doing? And then I see Jeskai Ascendancy, and I'm like, okay, like, so what is this for? And then I see him go off, and it untaps the creatures, which means they get to tap for more mana, and he gets the net mana off of all his spells, and then slip through space, draw a card, he pays one blue, but he gets the net, you know, a green, a red, and a blue off of it, and then he gets to play another spell, and everything draws and discards a card, and he's able to play 4 treasure cruise and 4 dig through time in this deck, so he never runs out of fucking cards. Like, he played 4 expedites, 4 slip through space, 4 treasure cruise, 4 dig through time, all mana dorks, Jeskai Ascendancy, and I was like, once he had like 3 mana dorks and Jeskai Ascendancy, he wins that turn every fucking time. It was absurd. And so that's I didn't think of that being the route. I kind of saw like a Cryptolith right route being like similar thing, but I didn't think that the mana dorks themselves would do it all, but they do, because it doesn't matter what they are as long as they become 20/20s after casting 20 spells, you know what I mean? It was crazy. And even in that turn, you're netting so much mana, when you draw another Jeskai Ascendancy, you just fucking play it because you have the ability to. You have the mana available. That was a sick build I saw.
That deck is very ridiculous. Any iteration of that deck I've seen online is just... it makes you quiver in your boots and makes you pack lots of counters and enchantment hate in your sideboard.
What's the fucking 3 mana prowess dude that makes the 1/1s?
Monastery Mentor.
Monastery Mentor is a fucking animal, too. That thing is scary as hell. Luckily, if it does come down on turn 3 and he's tapped out, it's like, okay, whatever I got, just kill him because he can't respond to it and then we're all good. Because right at this moment, it's just a 2/2, and that's fucking, that feels great. But like, once it gets going and Jeskai Ascendancy is able to Fiery Temper and do all this stuff, the board turns into 8-10 creatures way too quickly. You know what I mean? So that is, I'd say, like the strongest card besides Jeskai Ascendancy in the deck. That thing is very explosive. And I also wish that they had Young Pyromancer, because that would be a totally fantastic deck to have that as a 4 of, the Monastery Mentor as a 4 of, and just be explosive with secure the waste and shit like that. Oh my god, crazy!
Don't talk like that.
Crazy stuff.
Bad person. The deck I'm working on right now is, if you remember me talking about my standard blue black zombies and just not being satisfied with it and trying to add in red and then eventually just getting frustrated and giving up on it. So now I ported that over to Frontier. Still not happy with it. I decided to get rid of the red, add some green, and just make it a complete graveyard, just grindy as fuck deck. So
value deck.
Yeah, just value town. So I'm running all the goodies of Bloodsoaked Champions, Satyr Wayfinders, Scrap Heap Scroungers, Den Protectors, Prized Amalgams, Fleshbag Marauders, Haunted Deads, and then two Sidisi Brood Tyrant.
And you did run, what was it, the three mana dude, the green dude that interacts with...
I was running the one that the Flashdance Raptor, the Happy Dance,
yeah,
whatever he's called.
Death Mist Raptor.
Flashdance. I was running him with Den Protector, but there's a little bug on MTGO when you bring the Raptor back from the graveyard to the battlefield. It doesn't trigger Prized Amalgam, so I'm not sure if they fixed that. I sent them an email. I'm sure they're hard at work this very second working on it, you know, calling their kids. I'll be home soon for the play. Just hold on. Got to fix this for Knife City. I took that out for right now. We'll have to revisit it another time. But just the Den Protect. So it's a mostly creature-based deck. Because I want to get a lot of stuff in the graveyard, and I want to bring a lot of stuff back. There's not a whole lot of non-creature-related spells. So the spells I do cast, I would like to get them back, and Den Protector's not a bad way of doing that. So,
I mean, you'd play Eternal Witness if you could.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm running two Contingency Plan, probably not the most popular way to get shit into the graveyard, but it's basically a Tygaim Scheming.
They read exactly the same, I think.
Yeah. So you
I think they're like identical cards in every way.
You just look at the top five, put shit in the yard, or just put it back on top. Either way, whatever. Great way to get stuff in the yard. Running Collected Brutalities. I think this card shines in this deck more than any other deck I've played. I've played Collected Brutality, or at least tried to put it in every black deck since the card came out, because I love the card. And it just doesn't do well as it does in this deck. It does the best here. Also running Grasp of Darkness. Oh my gosh. Hey, remember this card? Because it's kind of a house in Frontier. It's called Sultai Charm? Yeah, that thing is... what's the word? Oh yeah, fucking ridiculous? So choose one. Destroy target mono colored creature. Yeah, that's cool, kind of specific, whatever. This one, hello, destroy target artifact or enchantment. Oh, yeah. Yeah, bring that all day long.
There's a lot of artifacts and enchantments in Standard and Frontier right now. It's a ton of shit going on.
Putting a fucking bib on it and letting it eat up at the table, because that's what it's doing. And then also, obviously, the draw two, discard two. That's good for the engine. But, I mean, this card is just so... Every option is so important and viable that I'm running three right now. I'll probably add a fourth one. I got a fourth one in the board. I might move it over to the main because it's that important to the deck. And then running Treasure Cruise because I'm getting so much non-creature related stuff into the graveyard. You know, lands or spells or even fucking wayfinders that, you know, I can easily draw into some more cards because that's where the deck does run into some trouble is once you're working the engine of bringing Haunted Deads back and putting shit in the graveyard, you need to refill your hand. So that's what I have. Only two. I'm messing with all the numbers. To be honest, I brewed this deck a while ago. I gave up on it. And then just when earlier before the cast, when these guys were playing one-on-one, I decided to try and give it another look. And I just stomped the matches I played. And so this is my new little pet deck I'll be working on, but still messing with all the numbers and everything, and hopefully someday I'll get everything untapped out. But until then, if you do have any questions, hit us up. We do have an email address. It's iflandscouldkill@gmail.com. All of our Twitter stuff is in the show notes, YouTube, website, email, P.O. Box, my mother's maiden name. Everything's on there in the show notes. You know what? Thank you, guys. You guys were so receptive and loving of episode 100 that it's just awesome to be back. And, I mean, episode 100 was just so awesome that we can't do anything but disappoint you guys now. So go fuck yourselves. We had a great time. We don't really care about you guys anymore. And and that's it for episode 101. I'm Knife City.
That's so incredible.
It was awesome.
And we'll check you guys later. We weren't recording, guys.
of attention. Be the name that everyone must mention. Come out from the shadows, it's your time. Cause tonight is the night for everyone to see. It's natural. You know that this is where you got it. It must be your destiny. Sensational. And you believe that this is what you waited for. Now you feel